Blog Talk Radio.
He is the last of his kind. All that remains of a once powerful nation. Some think he is a myth. Some believe he is the chosen one, who will bring balance to a world at war. And some will stop at nothing to destroy him.
Okay, Moles, listen up. We have just added a brand new package to TahakaArchives.org. It's called the Off the Grid Arming System. Off the Grid Arming System. People who have gone through regular channels to purchase firearms and have them registered will have their guns confiscated one day. And when you have a situation that occurred, like what happened in Katrina, what happened was the United States military came in there and took the well-to-do people out of the house, set them outside on the lawn, handcuffed these people, went inside their home, searched their homes, confiscated their guns, and the reason they're able to do that because these guns were registered. Okay, but we have a system now where you can legally own your firearms without registration, without someone having to take them away from you in violation of your Second Amendment rights. Go to www.newfreehelpgroup.com. That's www.newfreehelpgroup.com. Click on the Tahaka Archives link and you will see the Off the Grid Arm Yourself system. This is all legal, and what you are going to receive through that package is the following: how to buy your guns legally off the grid, how to avoid registration and detection, complete guide to firearm training, complete ammunition guide and videos, how to make and recycle your own ammunition, because that's one of the first things they're going to try to keep people from doing any time you have a situation where we have an economic collapse or a natural disaster and stuff. They want to try to control the people. Where to get your weapons from, and much, much more. Go to www.newfreehelpgroup.com. Click on the link right above the red right and up top to TahakaArchives.org. You'll see the package over there. The off-the-grid arm-yourself system, complete with videos and everything. Okay? Make sure you get there, because without your weapons in your possession, you cannot defend you or your family. And this is what makes this information so valuable. Remember to contact me, Tahaka Montiel Bay, before making any donation. Area code 904-303-9061 before 7 p.m. That's 904-303-9061 before 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Okay, everybody, listen up. We just got our new Professional Economic Collapse Survival System package. It's located right there at TahakaArchives.org. Go to www.newfreehelpgroup.com. That's www.newfreehelpgroup.com. If you got any questions about our Economic Collapse Survival System, contact me, Tahaka Amana L. Bay, before 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time at area code 904-303-9061. That's 904-303-9061 before 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
The complete system comes from eyewitnesses' accounts and the United States Navy SEAL survival techniques and other military professionals, and what and how to survive an economic collapse in any natural disaster, with whole volumes of information, survival food shortage and what to do about it, home and perimeter protection in any crisis, personal defense, secrets by special forces, defense for children and seniors, mental survival in a crisis situation, off-the-grid survival and communication, real-world survival, 144-item checklist, and much, much more. In order to access this powerful document, go to newfreehelpgroup.com. That's www.newfreehelpgroup.com. Click on the TaHakaArchives.org link, and you'll see the package there listed. If you got any other questions about this package, don't hesitate to call me, TaHaka Amana L. Bates. We do not have years left, but months. Many people only think they are ready. They are spending thousands of dollars attending boot camps, seminars, and other expensive classes across the country, and are not prepared according to the professional military experts whose information is contained in these explosive survival systems. This information is a must-have for every man, woman, and child in America. Contact me, TaHaka Amana L. Bates. Peace.
Welcome, Morris and Morris Talk Live 100. I'm your host, TaHaka Amana L. Bates, and this evening we're going to be dealing with what is the outlook for America starting in 2014 and beyond. We're going to be dealing with the following. What is the future outlook for our planet? What is the economic outlook? What is going on with the electronic surveillance? What about your computer and cell phone? What looms on the horizon for our survival? We got some very powerful excerpts here this evening. And keep in mind that phone lines are currently open at this time. We want to get this information out because we want to constantly monitor what lies in the future. Where are we headed? You know, with this information, that helps us be able to prepare ourselves, for those of us who are fortunate enough to be here on this broadcast to hear this information. And keep in mind, this is just not something to hear. This is something to do and to be prepared for. We always want to be prepared. There's a whole lot of things that have occurred in the past where people just simply weren't prepared. Okay? They didn't have the knowledge. They didn't have the tools. They didn't have the skills. They didn't have any techniques. And the next thing you know, boom. And then they start thinking about what they should have done. Well, here's a golden opportunity for you tonight to be able to hear this information and do something. I mean, if you say that you love yourself, you love your family, you love your people, you need to do something to protect yourself and provide, okay? We got a lot of people that say, well, you know, I'm going to wait and see what Jesus do. And all this. So for those people who are waiting on Jesus, go ahead on and wait on that there. But in the meantime, what I'm doing and what we are prepared to do is to look at where we are and do something about our situation. I mean, if we are facing economic collapse, then we need to do something about it. We need to prepare or do some kind of preparation. And we need to take it very, very seriously. Because there's nothing like a child coming to you and saying, Mama, Daddy, I'm hungry. And you don't have anything to give him because you heed a warning or you didn't do anything. You didn't take it seriously enough. You listen to somebody else, and all of a sudden, out of the clear blue sky, here comes something, and you ain't ready. Okay. So this is what we are providing this information here for this evening so that we can know what we're facing, what's out there, and that'll let us know what we need to do. How we need to arrange our priorities. I look at natural disasters that happen in different parts of the world or across this planet, and I look at the thousands and thousands of people who just simply weren't ready. Okay, they just think life goes on and things are going to be this way, and it happens in earthquake situations, and it happens in tornadoes, typhoons. I look at the people in the Philippines, and what happened there, look at the people in New York City, what happened there, and the people that's going through these crises since today with the snow and cold up in the northern states. I mean, this thing is terrible. And so I asked my question, okay, well, you know, What could these people have done to not be a victim of this? You know, did they have any type of early warning detection devices in their possession? Did they have anything prepared? Were the vehicles prepared? Did they know when to travel and when not to travel? What did they have in place that could have prevented them from being a victim of this natural disaster? People that are in areas where war is threatening, you know, and all this kind of stuff. And you have a lot of people who are smart enough to vacate the place. There are people inside the United States who were, when they was putting in the draft to be sending people to Vietnam, a lot of people say, hey, you know, I'm not going in there. I'm not doing that. And these people left America. And you got people that are looking at the current situation inside the United States today, they have left America. Okay, they actually physically done something. Now, it may not provide them life forever, but they did something about the condition. Okay, opposed to just sitting still and doing nothing. We got people who are on government subsidies, they're getting food stamps and all these things, and they're walking around outside in grocery stores and stuff selling food stamps. They're not trying to put any food aside and not trying to buy any dry goods and not trying to stack up on a little water or something, do something in the event that something takes place. No first aid kit, no flashlights, no batteries, no generators, no nothing. No guns, no ammunition, no nothing. Okay. And a lot of these people are forced out in the streets in the time of a terrible situation where they're out there trying to rob and kill somebody else in order to keep on surviving because they didn't do anything in peacetime. And you don't wait the war to make bullets, you make bullets in peacetime. So we're going to go over some of this information, and we're going to start with the surveillance thing. We'll look at that. No, we're going to start with the surveillance. We're going to look at the global aspect, and this is what some of the experts are saying about this stuff here. And, you know, I never looked at it from this angle, but I thought it was some very, very interesting information, and I wanted to bring this to the forefront. And then we're going to get into what's going on with all of this surveillance. You know, they're putting up cameras everywhere. From what I'm finding out, everything that you're tweeting, every call you're making, every website you visit, everything you're doing on the internet, I mean, it's like you got somebody else living in your house with you that you can't see. It is amazing what's going on with this thing. And I thought it was very valuable and something that we needed to know. So I put this show together for us to check this out so we'll know what's out there. At least we'll know what's out there. And it's up to us to be able to do something about our current situation because we want our freedom, we want to live. Everybody on the planet wants leisure, luxury, and life, liberty, and in the pursuit of happiness and all of this good stuff. But sitting back and just waiting on something to happen, it doesn't work that way. You have to prepare yourself and protect yourself and your family, and that's what it's all about. Okay, so we're going to be getting into that in a minute, and so you all sit tight for one moment, and when we come back, then we're going to be ready to go with this thing. As soon as I find this button that I'm supposed to push here, y'all bear with me for a moment, and we'll be ready to get ready in there. Okay, if I can... Okay, here we go. We back. Wow, that was what? What's going on here, man? My screen is going blank on me. Somebody don't want this here kind of information out there, boy. They don't want this out here. But nevertheless, it's getting out there tonight. I'll make sure that. Hold on.
There are people across the United States who are wondering, how can they relieve themselves of the burden of debt?
For the solutions to your debts, go to www.newfreehelpgroup.com. That's www.newfreehelpgroup.com. A lot of us are burdened with mortgages. We're behind on your mortgage payments. We got student loan debt. We got problems with banks and different companies and corporations. For the solution to these problems, go to www.newfreehelpgroup.com. Contact me, Tahaka Amana L. Bay, 904-303-9061 before 7 p.m. That's 904-303-9061 before 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Okay, Moses, let's take a look at this thing.
From the City of Angels near the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation around the world. I'm George Norrie, and welcome to Coast AM. Later tonight, is humanity in danger because of science and technology? Transevolution with Daniel Estulin. But here's what's happening. Homeland Security plans to X-ray all food and drinks at the Super Bowl. They call it a precaution. The U.S. Customs and Border Protection agents also will work around the clock to X-ray every delivery truck and any other vehicle authorized to enter the MetLife Stadium complex for anything suspicious. Throughout Super Bowl week, the U.S. Department of Homeland Security will use HCV mobile scanning trucks to examine the vehicles. Let's check in with Craig Hewlett. He's an expert on these matters. Craig, it's wise to be vigilant, I guess. Your take?
Well, there's no question they're going to be vigilant. One of the curious coincidences here for me, George, is the people that work ATF and the Fusion Center and Homeland Security are people that I've known personally for over two decades. And I can tell you, these guys on the law enforcement side, they are very effective. I don't believe anything's going to happen in the Super Bowl. I believe these guys have got an absolute grip on it. But that's because I've known them personally for almost 30 years in several of the cases. So I think they've got a really good handle on it. It is going to be an oppressive regime, though, I have to tell you.
Well, there's no question about that, Craig. Are we at that point where some of this is absolutely necessary?
I don't think it's absolutely necessary. And as you've already pointed out on your show, the NSA surveillance has accomplished nothing to correct terrorism, catch terrorists. They've achieved nothing but put the American people under surveillance. They'll be caught. If there's any kind of terrorism activity whatsoever, it will be caught by standard law enforcement practices, as oppressive as they're going to get, but they will catch them. They have caught a number of people. It just doesn't make the press when they catch them.
That's a good point. Craig, thanks. We'll keep our eyes on all of this. Super Bowl right around the corner now. Boy, the South, they're getting blasted with frigid weather. Cars stuck in ditches beside icy roads. Thousands of children stranded at schools that parents can't reach. Drivers camped out at gas stations, no way to get home. My daughter's in Savannah, Georgia. She's stuck right now trying to get back to St. Louis. A winter storm slamming into the South. Authorities warning drivers, hey, stay off the roads. Motorists in major metropolitan areas, including Atlanta, just sit in trapped gridlocks as schools and offices have shut down. 3,100 flights in that southern region also canceled. The Earth's magnetic field is collapsing, and it could affect the climate and wipe out power grids. Now, deep within the planet is a fierce molten core that is generating a magnetic field capable of defending our planet against devastating solar winds. The protective field extends thousands of miles into space, and its magnetism affects everything from global communications to animal migration and weather patterns. But this magnetic field, so important to our life here on Earth, has weakened by 15% now over the last 200 years. And scientists say this could be a sign that the Earth's poles are about to flip. In a moment, David Cereda joins us. He'll tell us what this means, because just to give you a little capsule, it could be devastating, knocking out power grids and radically changing Earth's climate, and they say even driving up cancer rates. Hong Kong has begun culling 20,000 chickens after the H7N9 bird flu virus was found in poultry imported from mainland China. Now, all the chickens at the wholesale market where the positive test took place, they have been destroyed. The government is also banning the import of live chickens from the mainland for 3 weeks. H7N9 made the jump from infecting domestic chickens and ducks to infecting people in the early part of 2013. They say exposure to the synthetic pesticide DDT may increase both the risk and severity of Alzheimer's disease in some individuals, especially those over the age of 60. Now, DDT was introduced to the United States as a pesticide during World War II and was utilized for insect control in crops and livestock, as well as to combat insect-borne diseases such as malaria. But it's turning around to bite us. The ride-sharing company Uber, that's a company that's in a lot of cities, is facing a lawsuit over the death of a child killed by one of its drivers. It is the first case of its kind and will raise questions about how much firms are regulated. A little six-year-old was knocked down in San Francisco while crossing the road with her family, and the family holds Uber responsible because the driver was using the firm's app at the time of the accident. They use these apps to find out who they're going to pick up and to make sure that they have picked somebody up. Pete Seeger, the man considered to be one of the pioneers of contemporary folk music who inspired legions of activists, singers, and songwriters, he died late last night. He was 94 years old, best known for songs including Turn, 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 which you just heard, Where Have All the Flowers Gone, If I Had a Hammer. His influence extended far beyond his own individual hits. Pete Seeger dead at the age of 94. Ford Motor Company made good money for the fourth quarter, $1.3 billion in operating profit, capping what the automaker said was one of the best company years ever. So good that the workers, the union workers, 47,000 of them, will each get a bonus of $8,800. That's part of its deal. It's an amazing deal with United Auto Workers. Let's check in with Catherine Austin Fitz. This is good news. I like this story.
Yes, it is good news, George. I believe it's the second most profitable year in their history. So Ford has certainly had quite a comeback. You know, I don't know if you remember, but when we were talking in 2008, 2009, their stock was below $2.
Yeah,
so
I remember that.
They've had quite a ride back. And I'll never forget, because the mayor of Hickory Valley came tearing in. He just bought a new Ford truck, and he said, buy as much stock as you can get. Watch, Ford will come out.
He was right. Are we in a seesaw accordion, Catherine? I had Harry Dent Jr. on the last week, and yeah, he thinks the stock market's going to plummet again.
Well, here's what happened. The stock market ran, the U.S. stock market ran up enormously last year, and it wasn't just extraordinary payout, both in buybacks and earnings by the companies, but also the price-earnings ratios went up a lot, and a lot more than anybody expected. And what's happened, George, is we've seen tremendous divergence between the price of commodities and the price of U.S. equities. And usually, you know, usually they always come back into convergence. And so if they were to snap back into convergence quickly, commodities would come up a lot and equities would come down. So it's absolutely extreme. However, if you look at what the Fed has been doing with their quantitative easing, you know, there is a very direct correlation, if you map it out, on the expansion of the Fed's balance sheet with the U.S. stock market. So I think, you know, the Fed's pumped a lot of money into the economy, and I think a lot of that's headed on into the stock market. And as the Fed tapers, we'll start to see things come back a little bit more to normal.
What's new with Solari.com?
Well, you know, what we've been telling people is that we've really got two economies side by side, George. One we call Global 2.0, and that's the industrial economy, and the other is Global 3.0, which is a much more network economy. We now have over 1.2 billion people worldwide on smartphones. And what you're watching is an acceleration of economic activity out of one into the other. And if you're in the old economy, everybody's saying, oh, my God, it's horrible, it's going to collapse, and, you know, this just, you know, everything's terrible. If you're over in the new economy, you're saying, oh, it's, you know, it's going gangbusters. So, you know, there's a tremendous change underway because we've never had one consumer market that was 1.2 billion consumers. I mean, that's That's enormous. Have you ever had Michael Ventura on Coast to Coast?
I don't think so. I don't remember.
Okay, Michael Ventura said, he described it as the psychic storm. He described L.A. once as we're standing in the psychic storm of our own being. Well, we've now got 1.2 billion people in our psychic storm. So we think there's change underway. And, you know, the guys on one side think it's terrible. The guys on the other side think it's horrible. I just think we need to make sure the transition is smooth.
Thanks, Catherine. Appreciate it. So if you go to Starbucks, you might know the name of this company, Bodrum USA. Bodrum USA, they're recalling 28,000 coffee presses that they sell exclusively at Starbucks due to the potential risk of lacerations and burns. The U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission said that the carafe in the Bodrum's rose gold glass coffee presses can fall out of the base and break or shatter. So that's a little news you can use. Okay, so we're talking about the Earth's magnetic field. Scientists are saying it is collapsing. This does happen, but we're very technological. We rely on a lot of things. So they say that this flip of the magnetic poles could weaken the shield and cause all kinds of problems. In a moment, David Cereda joins us. We'll check in with what he thinks on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast. Will the Earth's magnetic poles flip? Scientists say yes. David Cereda, space scientist, physicist, spiritual explorer as well. Just when I thought it was okay to come out of the house, David, now we have this. What does it all mean to us?
Well, we go back to NASA, a Canadian scientist working for NASA, Larry Newitt, who suddenly noticed that in the 20th century, magnetic north was migrating about 10 miles a year, and it suddenly speeds up to about 25 miles a year migration at that time. And that was, you know, coming into 2010, 2011 that we last talked about it. And I wrote Larry Newitt at NASA and you know, Canadian scientist working for NASA and doing the reporting. And he said it was even worse than that. It had gone up to, at times, it was moving 50 miles a year. And then nothing. Then, you know, we saw the news about how the pilots had to readjust, you know, and not use their magnetic compasses anymore. That, you know, birds and dolphins and a lot of marine animals, mammals, are relying on a natural compass built into their physiology, and they were being misdirected because of the changes. And now there's a report of independent researchers with their own navigational tools that are very accurate that are saying it has migrated 160 kilometers just in the past year.
That's fast, David.
Which is staggering. And what alarms me about that is, you know, looking in a lab situation, I can see, like, the Earth is a physical magnet. And recently it was measured that its magnetic field strength is 25 Gauss at the core, which is not really that strong compared to like a neodymium magnet, which would be in the thousands of Gauss at the surface. But nevertheless, when a magnetic field moves over a magnet, it determines the magnet position. So if the Earth is a physical magnet and the magnetic field is moving that fast, the physical magnet starts to stress in that movement. And what happens is you're going to get creaking and screeching sounds, which have been suddenly reported all over the world starting in 2012. And for a period there, it seemed like, oh, my God, I mean, there is a physical movement that's imminent that's going to be devastating. And one night, I really wanted to know the answer to this stuff. I started pulsing my body with some time travel frequencies, actually.
Why?
And because I wanted to go back in time or forward in time and find out what was going to happen. And, you know, this is a technique not unlike remote viewing. I'm using a pulse magnet to use certain frequencies that I won't name that actually induce time travel experiences. And so that night, I mean, this is actually what happened. And this happened after our last show on this some time back. What had happened is I was hovering above the city of Vancouver, Canada. I was living in Sedona, Arizona at the time, and I was shown in Greco-Roman temples in North Vancouver, for those people who know that area, that they pre-existed what we now call the First Nations people in Canada, and that there was a radical pole shift thousands of years ago, over 10,000 years ago.
And that's very natural, though, David, isn't it?
And it's very natural. And then what happens is they show me present day, I see these angels whose heads are bigger than mountains in the clouds, and they all go racing to the north-northwest, and they say, look, something is about to happen. And this is coming into 2012. I mean, this is 2012 when this experience happened. And what had happened is the angels showed me we have to soften the blow. Within days of that experience, I posted it on Facebook. Canada announced in eastern Canada they found Greco-Roman temples in Newfoundland that predated the First Nations people. So I got proof of that in the experience. And then there was this 7.7 huge earthquake in the north-northwest of Vancouver, which is Masset, British Columbia, near Prince Rupert. So I said, wow, these angels were showing me that they were personally getting involved in smoothing out this radical movement that the Earth magnet wanted to do to catch up to the magnetic fields movement. So now you suddenly have this huge, huge weather, just the polar vortex. You see, the Earth's magnetic field, just look up and down straight at the Earth. You have north and south, which is actually the reverse of that in the magnetic field. You have a south magnetic field at the top and a north magnetic field at the bottom. And the lines of magnetic field force are just kind of flowing in and out of the poles, you know, towards each other. A positive magnetic field is expansion. The negative magnetic field is contraction. The weather patterns on the planet move 90 degrees away from that, which is the way the Earth is spinning on the axis, which is where most of the electrons in the gas envelope and the actual electromagnetic signal that rides just over the crust of the Earth that Nikola Tesla measured at 7.83 hertz.
Is that why these extremes, David, are so huge? What's happening now?
You're exactly right. See, what's happened is normally the electric field that is spinning 90 degrees away from the magnetic field is stronger with weather patterns. It is holding the weather patterns in the movement. It's dragging dust particles through the air, which creates winds through three different types of magnetism. You know, iron magnetism, we all know if you have a magnet, it will drag around iron. But actually, a magnet will also drag around non-magnetic material.
That's right.
That is not it's paramagnetic and diamagnetic material, and that creates winds and wind patterns. So here's what I think has happened. Suddenly, the polar vortex, which spins in that direction, 90 degrees away from the magnetic field, suddenly broke. And earlier this winter, we had this huge amount of cold air mass break out of that pattern. And that means, this is what concerns me, is the magnetic flux lines of the Earth are now stronger than that, and they shouldn't be. And they're pulling those particles and those weather patterns following that in the form of winds southward at an angle. It's almost like there already has been a weather pattern pole shift.
And you don't need a total 100% flip before you see some of these anomalies.
Exactly. You don't need a physical. See, if the planet moved even 1 degree, that would be over 68 miles of physical movement. And 1 degree of movement would utterly devastate the planet. So, of physical movement.
Wow.
But we're seeing for the first time, like in 2012, we saw all the birds dying. We saw a lot of beaching whales. We saw a lot of things happening that suggested that these marine mammals and birds who rely on their navigation system magnetically were thrown off course, and or HARP and chemtrails mm-hmm. might have contributed to some of that. But now you have this 90-degree flip where California, Oregon, you know, Nevada, Arizona are in this severe, severe drought, a drought that is really, really being underestimated how devastating this thing is going to be.
They're talking about rationing, the possibility of water rationing out here, David.
It's beyond that. My mom lives in the Sierra Nevada near Jackson, and she's saying all the trees are being eaten by the pine beetles severely this year, and there's going to be fires. Remember the fires?
Oh, yeah.
In Yosemite?
Absolutely.
She has to get out of there because she's right in the redwoods in this house, and they're talking about, you know, serious precautions. California grows 70 to 90% of the nation's produce and nuts, and you have all that, and they require 90% of the state's water to grow that food, and they're only getting 16% of their water.
Lake Mead is plummeting. The Colorado River, which feeds a lot of the states in this region, it's sinking. It's going down by 120 feet. It's a disaster.
It's a disaster that I really think the governor of California and Oregon are not really. They're not really understanding.
Well, they better. David, hold on. We're going to come back, talk more with you, and the next hour we'll flip our switch, and you can take a question or two with David Sarita. Welcome back with David Sarita as we talk about the possibility of Earth's magnetic field collapsing, shifting. David, I want to go through some of the things that some scientists say could happen and get your take on that.
Mm-hmm.
One, they say that the solar winds, without the magnetic field the way it is, could punch holes in the ozone layer. It could damage power grids, affect the weather, increase cancer rates. We'd see incredible auroras all the time. What do you think of those possibilities?
Well, no, those are all very accurate statements. I mean, without the Earth's magnetic field, you know, defending us from highly charged particles in space, you know, you're going to be exposed to even nuclear levels of radiation that would be devastating to DNA and all living things. I mean, the heat that it would cause in living organisms and what it would do to the global water supplies would definitely end a huge portion of life on this planet. I mean, if that happens, and here's what concerns me, that may be imminent. When the magnetic field lines of the Earth, when they're in the middle of a physical reversal of the actual magnetic field that is going to jump from one pole to the other, you start to see those north-south magnetic field lines take over the electric field lines, which are 90 degrees to that. And the 90-degree field, is responsible for moving most of the weather patterns, you know, across the Pacific from, you know, Asia towards Hawaii and towards the United States. And that has stopped right now. Most of the weather patterns are not making it into California and Southern California, the equator, all the way up to even Washington State, I mean, lower Washington State. So there's a huge high-pressure ridge there. And, you know, one of my theories was that with all the nuclear radiation in the Pacific that is imminently arriving, and it's agreed that it's arriving in, and it's actually, people are going out on beaches near San Francisco, and they're checking with their meters, and they're getting 500 counts a minute in the sand on the beaches in San Francisco, and that's steady, you know, 300 to 500 counts a minute. That is not cosmic microwave background radiation. That's not cosmic rays. That type of radiation might be 20 counts a minute, you know, 15 counts a minute. You know, I've been testing radiation like that for over 20 years, and on NPR, they were flat-out lying to people saying that the radiation on the beaches in the redwoods in California was background radiation. Those are nowhere near background levels. I worked with the original Manhattan Project scientists like John Goffman at Berkeley, who was the only scientist who did a complete human health study on ionizing radiation. And I learned from him directly before he passed away. And they are flat out lying. So here's what happens. When you have all those nuclear particles in the water, they are hot. Gamma radiation is higher in temperature than cell phone microwave radiation, for example. So it's boiling the seawater on a tiny scale, but that tiny scale is enough to produce a type of heat that is devastating to plankton, it's devastating to krill, it's devastating to the base of the seafood chain, but even worse, that little bit of heat is going to create high pressure, enough so that may be what's blocking the weather patterns from coming in. So I looked at that theory. But then you also have to look at, according to Time Magazine, you've got 6 billion cell phone users in the world right now. And you've got microwave towers stationed virtually everywhere across you know, continents across the Atlantic and the Pacific. And so that those signals are very, very powerful. They're not as weak as people would like to think they are. And they definitely have the ability to disrupt weather patterns. Microwaves do.
Now, when they talk about a flip, explain the flip. I mean, what, you know, some people think we're going to get thrown topsy-turvy. What's the flip?
Well, during a flip, I mean, even not during a flip, you get these little vortices that spin and can cause false compass readings in certain areas. So you might be sitting there looking at your compass, and you're going, oh, my God, my compass is going crazy. It says, you know, magnetic north is way over here. But then somebody else measures it, you know, the next state over, and they're not getting the same readings. And that means you have a vortex. And those vortices can give rise, firstly, definitely, to paranormal events. I believe in the Sedona area, you have all these vortexes that they talk about in Sedona that the Anasazi painted on the rocks. And when electrons start to whirl like a tornado, they have the ability to physically teleport things, to physically move people, I believe. And the story that the Anasazi left their clothes in their dwellings, and their shoes and clothes were all folded. They just suddenly disappeared. There's no skeletal remains. I believe they jumped into another dimension. So there are stories right now all over America. There's a police officer who spent the rest of his career wondering and trying to explain how groups of people in American state parks were vanishing, like within seconds. Witnesses who were with them turned their back and turned again, and they were gone. Now, with increasing volcanic activity, and I believe it's increasing, it does depend on who you talk to. In my lifetime, I've never seen so many volcanoes going off. That's another sign that these vortices start to form, and what do? When electrons spin in a material, they produce heat, and then you get magma, and you get lava heating up, and then you get movement, and you get eruptions. So that's one of the historical signs that a physical magnetic flip is imminent. So you have a lot of different factors, and you have a lot of different phenomena, including when plates rub together in the grinding of the physical movement of the Earth's magnet, which drags the crust with it, you're going to get earthquakes. You're going to get swarms, some of them small, in places that you wouldn't normally see them. And then you're going to get pyroelectric and luminous ball lightning and a lot of phenomenal of sound, like all these sounds that people have been hearing, I believe, are from the grinding of the plates.
I think you may be right. As a matter of fact, Linda Moltenau is going to be with us on Thursday covering those sounds again, too. So I'm going to bring
that up. Yeah, and they're up again. The sounds are being reported again. And that all started. You see, look at the timing. Larry Newitt, the Canadian scientist, suddenly recognized that the Earth's magnetic north pole is drifting way faster than it did in the 20th century. In the 21st century, it's suddenly going 40 kilometers a year, and then it got to 50 last time I talked to him. And now we have this guy in England on YouTube who's measuring 160 miles or kilometers of migration just from 2012 to 2013. So we don't even know where we currently are, and NASA isn't telling us where we currently are, so they're not even following it. I can't find it anywhere on their website. And now you have the polar vortex phenomena this year, and you have the radical, radical cold air mass moving so far south in the last couple of days, and that's what concerns me. That means the magnetic field lines have crossed. The magnetic field lines are north-south, north-south, and then you have 90 degrees away from that, you have the spinning charged particles and air mass moving in that direction. And the fact that the polar vortex is consistently naturally spinning 90 degrees from the magnetic field of the Earth, and now it's not. Now it wants to go where the magnetic field of the Earth is going, which drags it further south. That's an early, early sign to me of probably magnetic fields pulling it in the direction that you're going to see an actual magnetic flip. But that doesn't mean it's soon. That doesn't mean a full flip. I've even seen NASA scientists recently admitting that we might see a mini ice age within the next 40 years.
Or if we could be in one now.
But we could be in one now. I mean, look at these temperatures. I mean, friends of mine in eastern Canada, minus 70 with wind chill. It's unheard of in my lifetime to see temperatures in those places that low. And then you also look at what's happening in California, and I grew up in California my whole life. I've never seen, and my mother and my family has never seen, a drought in that magnitude. So what are we going to do? Where is it going next? I mean, this is where, when I look at, one thing most scientists don't do is they don't include consciousness. They don't include dreams. They don't include visions. But in most Native American tribes, most spiritual civilizations, even the Tibetan Buddhist, the Dalai Lama uses an oracle to go into a trance and tell him in his out-of-body state what is actually going to happen. Are there things that we need to prepare for? So they use consciousness as well as what you can actually observe. But in my opinion, science is limited to its ability to detect using different means of detection, using devices. For example, when you're detecting magnetic fields, most magnetic field detectors are ferromagnetic detectors. They only detect changes in permanent magnetic field, meaning like if you have a permanent magnet. They actually have a permanent magnet in the sensor. And will they detect paramagnetic and diamagnetic changes? Probably not. So science, it kind of is very arrogant. It thinks it knows everything, but yet when these things happen, they go, we don't know why it's happening. Well, of course you don't know why it's happening because you don't know everything, but you act like you know everything, but you really don't. And today scientists are saying the radiation from Japan is not going to affect human health. But
I don't believe that. Do you?
I don't believe it either. I knew John Goffman very well. Goffman did this immense study to find out what are the levels where cancer becomes imminent with nuclear radiation, and he delivers his report to Glenn Seaborg, who chaired the Atomic Energy Commission under Kennedy, Johnson, and Nixon. And Seaborg worked with him in nuclear fusion before he died. And I asked him amazing questions. And Seaborg, when he looked at Goffman's report, Goffman said, if we ever get to 60 counts a minute, we're in trouble. We're going to see increased cancers galore in America. And Seaborg said, well, we can't accept those levels, Dr. Goffman. Those are too low. We need higher levels. And so Goffman said, well, actually, cancer starts before 60 counts. Now, that's low. 60 counts seems low. There are many American cities that pass 60 counts on a monthly basis who have nuclear power plants, in their vicinity. But with Japan, we're seeing 500 counts in the sand in San Francisco beaches, and the state of California says, well, don't let your kids eat it. Don't let them eat the sand at the beach. But don't worry, those aren't harmful levels. You see what they do? We pay these people to lie so that you can feel okay, but meanwhile, you actually are in danger. Now, what they're also not telling you is why all the sea lions dying in California, why all the starfish are dying. They're saying, well, the starfish are dying because the water's warmer. Well, the water's warmer because you've got hot nuclear particles in the water heating it up. Well, they also have signs of radiation damage. You have coho salmon. You have no tuna this year at all. The tuna is radioactive. You have no sardines at all. You have plankton dying by the countless numbers of plankton dying this year. So that means no plankton, no little fish for the seals to eat, and then the seals die. And they say, well, we don't know that it's radiation. Well, then you have the waters heating up, and then you have high pressure. But is that causing the polar vortex to suddenly turn south? And see, this is where you look at all the data. You look at the data from every source you can. You never ignore data, and you look at what can that data cause, what can heating the Pacific actually physically cause. Yes, it could cause all of the problems we're seeing in the Pacific, including high-pressure air system that won't let storms get in. And then you look at the magnetic field situation, and this is where the human element really gets interesting. There was an amazing documentary called Resonant Beings of Frequency, where they took...
Did I hear about that one?
Have you heard about that
one? No, I did not.
It's incredible. They take... It's a whole study on the effects of cell phone radiation, but the part that interests me the most was, firstly, that Dr. Luc Montagne, this Nobel Prize-winning virologist, proves that your DNA reads frequencies all day long. And, in fact, it relies on being able to read the frequency of the Earth itself. And they take a group of high school students in a cave. See, under the Earth's crust, you don't get the Earth's frequency. It rides just above the surface of the Earth, just above the surface of the water. The electrons in the water are moving under the speed of light and in the Earth's crust, but just above that, the signal is the speed of light. So if you divide the circumference of the Earth, its equator, into the speed of light, you get about 7.45 hertz. Now, Tesla got 7.83 hertz at Colorado because the distance around the Earth at Colorado is a little bit smaller, so the frequency is a little bit higher. But here's what interested me. They can't find that signal in New York, L.A., or any of the big cities in America anymore. It is gone. And with that, in this film, they found these kids that were sequestered from Earth's resonance got massively depressed. In fact, brutally depressed. And while they were in the cave doing this study with these teenagers, they decided to artificially pulse the frequency of Earth and see if they would recover, and they did.
That's a pretty fascinating study.
It's a fascinating study because it firstly shows that all the epidemic depression in the big cities, because of all the cell phone and the microwave and the electric pollution from the wiring in your house, pulsing your brain at 60 hertz, which is great when you're awake, but you can't sleep in 60 hertz. What happens is you get sleep deprivation. People are not able to go into deep theta when they're sleeping, which is, we dream in theta. We dream at the same frequency as our planet. We dream the frequency of Earth. And you need to dream, you need to rest to heal, to feel energized the next day.
So is it possible, David, that when the magnetic field shifts, now it's at 15% now, it took 200 years to get there, but as you say, it's moving a little quicker than it did in the past 200 years.
Well, that's the north-south magnetic field line. The actual field strength has collapsed 15%. And, you know, it doesn't have to collapse anywhere near.
But does that make more whacked-out people mentally?
See, this is what we're getting to. We're starting to see, the evidence says, that if you're a Nobel Prize winner in virology, Luc Montagne, says your DNA reads frequencies, so therefore it needs the frequency of Earth. It actually needs the frequencies of the sun and the nine planets, I found. And because of all the traffic pollution and the declining magnetic field of the Earth, consciousness has to shift. It has to. And the timing of when the magnetic field of the Earth started to radically alter in just before 2010 is when all these riots broke out all over the planet and everybody's overthrowing their government leaders. Because there's been a magnetic shift that has affected. See, we're magnetic. You could measure the magnetic field of the human heart with a super squid magnetometer. So we're plugged in magnetically and electromagnetically. I don't believe those two forces should ever have been merged in science as the same force, because they're not. They are the same force today, but they clearly exhibit different qualities. So, as living organisms, all living things, plants included, humans, mammals, and cellular biology, all responds to frequency. So when the Earth's magnetic field is doing this...
And it is going to do it.
And it's doing it now.
Yeah.
We are shifting, and the shifting process is turbulent on the Earth, and it's turbulent psychologically.
Let's talk more about that, David, when we come back, how people are whacked out. I knew there was a reason for that. And we're going to take phone calls, too. Final hour to go. Split show tonight. David Sirita on Coast to Coast AM.
Okay, Moore, we back. I see we have a
caller with his hand raised at area code 209. We're going to get to you in just 1 second. But and keep in mind that the phone lines are open and the number to dial in to the broadcast. If you have a question about anything that you are listening to tonight, if you have a comment to make, go ahead and dial in at 310-982-4184. One of the reasons why I put this type of information on is because I discovered a long time ago that there is a blackout of information inside the United States. And I'm pretty sure the same thing is happening in other countries where the media is suppressing information because governments around the world do not want you to know that you live on an unstable planet, and they are partly responsible for what we have going on the planet. For instance, we had the eruption of Mount St. Helens. Now, the media inside the United States couldn't cover that up. Okay, that's everybody know about that. You know, but what they did, what they were able to cover up, is the fact during the same time that Mount St. Helens erupted, Mount Chiricahua over around the backside of Mexico erupted, and this thing blew its natural dome, just like the other gentleman had told us. I think of his name in a minute. But they were able to keep that information hidden. Then we got stuff that's going on in Japan and China and different regions of the world that's not being broadcast. We've been given what's called the status quo. Okay, we'll show you riots that's going on over here in this country and this problem over here. We'll show you about some droughts over here, about poverty over here, and what's going on in your local cities, and, you know, who got arrested today, who robbed the bank today, and this stuff. And this is how they maintain control over the brains of the masses to keep you from getting to the real nuts and bolts of what's really going on the planet. Okay, there are things that's occurring inside the United States, just like he was talking about the drought out in California. And I'm pretty sure that there are people out in California that are aware of this, but this is the first time that I've heard of it, you see. Because I don't look at TV for one thing, but I do tune into the radio, and I get a lot because I'm interested in stuff that's not being broadcasted by the media, but that and masquerading as news, which is not news at all. Area code 209. Are you there? Okay. No 209. All right. If you have a question or comment, go ahead and raise your hand. We're going to go into the second segment of the thing, but I wanted to point out that because I've ran into that. I've been new about that for years and years and years. And there's just simply things that everybody need to know, but our government and our media is suppressing this information. Okay? For instance, when the president of the United States is put in the office, and when he goes to the White House for the very first time, the limousines go so many blocks away from the White House, the president gets out, everybody gets out, and they walk to the White House. But after the situation with Bush Jr. and them, how they stole the election and all this stuff, the country was angry, and there was no such thing as getting out, because when they pull up to get out, people start throwing eggs and rocks and everything else. But it wasn't broadcast to the media. When 9/11 happened, there were people who came out and say, well, you know, I've seen explosions before the plane ever hit. You know, there was a series of explosions that then we found out these people were assassinated. This information was not broadcast by the media, but they couldn't keep it off the Internet, you see. So we have a tremendous suppression of information, and the reason why this exists is because they don't want you to know about what's really going on, because if you know what's really going on, then everybody will stand up on his on his landmass at the same time. And they don't want that. So they control the information that you get. They control what you see on television. They they lead us to believe that television is designed for entertainment, but it's not. This is a form of control. They're controlling you based on the programming. Whoever it is programming and putting the information out, that information is put out for you to get. They're not going to put everything out. You know, somebody come up and say, okay, well, right here in the South China Sea, this ship was almost capsized because a UFO came out from under the water, almost hit the ship and almost capsized it and struck out across the sky. Well, we gotta laugh at that because we can't, you know, we don't want nobody to think nothing like that is happening for real. So we gotta laugh at it and we gotta discredit it and we got to keep it out of the media. It's not broadcast and we're not talking. We got military installations. Anytime somebody reports a crash, the first thing on the scene is the military. Gather up all the evidence. Keep it out of the media. And anybody talking, we're going to label them as mentally unstable, put them in an institution, but we're going to shut them up. It is amazing how they do this thing. Just like Manuel Noriega. When they busted Noriega, Noriega said, okay, y'all turning on me. So now I'm going to tell on everybody, including the President of the United States, about all the drugs. I'm going to tell on everybody. Well, the next thing you know, they got a hold of Noriega. They put Noriega in a, under the jail. And we never heard from Noriega again. Then we got this story that's been covered up for years and years and years where they finally got this FBI agent to talk. And he said the FBI was investigating the drug cartel. So the question was, okay, what was your role? He said, well, I drove the plane delivering the drugs. Well, how long did you do that? Well, we investigated for 10 years. Okay, let's just use a little common sense for a minute. You mean to tell me that you got somebody selling drugs and delivering them by the plane load? You driving the plane, and you got to have an investigation that lasts 10 years? They paying you $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 per trip? It seemed to me you wasn't doing an investigation. It seemed to me you were making a living. That's what it seemed to me. Now, if I'm wrong, let me know I'm wrong. But it don't take a rocket scientist to figure that out. You doing an investigation on a drug cartel for 10 years, and they flooding the market. They got whole acres and acres of land of dope, and you got to investigate from them? Oh, sir, you come on, man. I mean, then we kept it out of the media, but then it gets out, and, of course, we're going to have to try to explain that away and all of this good stuff. But this is what's going on inside the United States and other parts of the world. There are things that are happening that's just simply not being broadcast to you. I mean, some of the most phenomenal things, and I mean, we see little bits and pieces of this stuff, but we never quite get a grip on it. I mean, it's like we see, okay, we have whales beaching themselves, and then we see all these birds dying. And then we get these reports that all the frogs, this particular species of frog, is dying. And all of this is kept away from you. The why. Why is it happening? These are the questions that we're trying to keep from being answered inside the country. We don't want anybody to answer these questions. We don't want nobody to ask these questions. Because if you asking these kind of questions and the whole world is listening, then somebody got to give an answer. So what we do is cover up the whole thing and keep anybody from knowing about it. okay? And we got fires in Australia raging out of control. 30, 40, and 50% of the land on fire. But we're not gonna get into that. We're not gonna discuss that. We don't want nobody to know that's going on. They don't tell them what's going on in different places around the world because there's a blackout. We don't have that information. Okay, somebody in the chat room say, I'm from Panama, and we know that Bush and Noriega were in bed together is all about the green mighty dollar. Yep, you're absolutely correct. But Noriega threatened to tell on everybody, so they put out Noriega in a vice, and we ain't heard from Noriega no more. We ain't even heard how he doing. Nothing. No sound, period. Now, when they imprisoned Mandela, we heard about that. You know, they broadcast about that. They talked about that and all that. But Noriega, no. We don't care what he got to say. We don't want to hear nothing. We want the world to forget about him because he gonna blow the whistle and tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Give dates, time, people, places, times, and events. We don't need that kind of thing coming out. That's too dangerous. We want everybody to know that we just want everybody to forget about it. Okay, in the chat room to say they demonized him and put him under the jail. That's right. Total silence. Ain't heard nothing else. And I remember back in the day when I was looking at the situation, they were talking about strongman Noriega this, strongman Noriega that. And the next thing I know, they had this little short thing where Noriega said, I'm going to tell it all. I'm going to reveal the truth. I'm going to tell the truth. After that, we ain't heard from him no more. No more. The media is not allowed to broadcast anything. And when you look at the fact that disasters happen, what the media does is they have a time to tell you about a major disaster, and then they have a time to stop. They have a time to start. They have a time to stop. Now, we heard about the big storm that hit New York City. Okay, this thing was totally devastating. It was time for us to talk about it, but now we're not talking about it. Okay, but you still got a horrible situation going on. It's still going on right now. Now we do talk about it in the media. We got to say something good about it. We're not going to talk about the disaster part. We're going to talk about the good part that happened. We might be done paved one of the streets. So we're going to lead you to believe that this is progress toward the whole thing. It's amazing how they do that. Then we got the big thing that hit the Philippines. Well, you ain't finished telling us about Katrina. You see, as if it's all solved. First, I caught on to the situation because back in the day, back in the 60s, they were talking about heroin. And the United States military was involved in the heroin trade. The government of the United States imported heroin and flooding so-called black communities with heroin. Okay, that was in the news. All right. Then they covered it up, and we won't talk about that no more. We got to talk about some new dope now. We're going to talk about cocaine now. So we talked about the powder. But my question is, have heroin trade stopped? No. Have the cocaine epidemic stopped? No. Have the crack epidemic stopped? No. Where is it? Why isn't the media broadcasting that? I mean, we need to we need to deal with this one thing after that. Just let it, when something hit, don't cut it off. Let the faucet run. Let's get it all. That way we'll know what you're actually doing about it and what you're not. Because when you cut it off, then you can go on to something else and create some more news. Or what you call it news, which is not news at all. And this is the kind of stuff that happens inside the United States with the media. This is what they do. This is how they maintain control over the masses. They dump a little bit on top of you, then they dump something new on top of you, then they dump something else new on top of you, and the buckets of syrup, and they dump something else on top of you, and on and on and on and on down the line. That's how they do it. Okay. Now, what we're going to do now is we're going to go to the second phase of this situation and find out why, what's the cause of these people in the country that's just losing it. I mean, you got people just going crazy, just going to school, just start shooting, just start to take a rifle, automatic weapon, and children, they going to school just killing people, and they take the gun and kill themselves, all this kind of stuff. They're going crazy. And you got people walking down the road talking to themselves, just them totally bugged out. I mean, you see this every day, all day, when we stop to think and just stop and pay attention and say, wait a minute, this is serious. This is very serious. Because in my opinion, back when I was a kid and growing up, I didn't see nothing like this. I didn't see nobody walking down the street and just totally plumb lost their mind, and these type of stuff is going on. That's not to say that weren't things going on, but there are things that's not broadcast to you. There are things that people are finding and putting up on the internet that's not being broadcast by the media. And then you got the media. You got the people that's controlling, trying to control YouTube. That's taking it down. You put some stuff up there, and oh no, we got to take that down. Fighting to control what you know and what you find out is a desperate struggle. You got people who have put videos up on YouTube. They have come there and taken those videos down to continue to suppress the truth, to keep the masses from getting to the truth. Now, just imagine what kind of fight we would have if everybody in the United States had a computer and had knowledge of how to operate one. Everybody. But we only have a certain amount of people inside the United States who have these computers and have knowledge of how to operate them. And they're fighting against them. So what would it be like if we had everybody, I mean, I'm talking about 95%, 99% of America on computers. Nobody running around outside acting crazy. Everybody inside getting real skinny on what's going on. Because it's important for us to know the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, all of it. You can't make an intelligent decision without knowing it all. And we have these cliches going on that are, well, what you don't know won't hurt you, and all this right here. That's a lie. In a lot of cases, what you don't know will kill you. What's wrong with you? we have to think about a lot of the stuff we think and say, and so that we can do some things, come to some real intelligent decisions about some stuff. Okay? We got, I don't want to hear about no bank robbers. I want to hear all the inside, ins and outs of what's really going on. Don't give me no mess. Give me some real information about what's really going on. We're going to take a little quick break, and when we come back, we're going directly into phase two of this thing, and we're going to exhaust this, and then we're going to deal with the surveillance. So y'all hold on 1 second, and I'll be right back, okay?
Okay, this hour we're going to spend some time with you and David Toretta as we talk about the Earth's magnetic field doing its collapse. Let's take some of your questions, too, when we come right back on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back, David Toretta with us, and of course, we'll take your phone calls as well. So, David, are we under any kind of pressure or rush? Because as I was saying, people are acting weird these days. Nobody can figure out why. You may have touched it right there when we talk about the collapse of the magnetic field.
I know when you read the news today, it's like there's no humanity left in the human race. It is so chaotic. It is so much every person for themselves. It is so competitive. The heart center seems to be almost gone. There are very few highly integral societies left anywhere, let alone people. And you wonder, like, you know, where's all this going to go? I mean, my prediction, based on spiritual experiences, about what the new Earth is, what's going to happen? According to NASA, within 2,000 years, the Earth's magnetic field will completely collapse. And at that point, we physically can't be here anymore because the cosmic rays are just too powerful. Water will not survive here, and you can't live without water. And when you look at what we really are, we're mostly made of elements on the periodic table that are atoms that are vibrating in the millions of waves per second to a few of the elements are in the billions of waves per second. So our cell phone communication is now approaching 8 and 9 gigahertz, which is billions of waves per second. So our communication systems are vibrating at the upper end of physical matter. And what I think is going to happen, I've been using my transmitter to pulse my meditation space and body with frequencies from the Great Pyramid to take me on the astral plane from the fourth dimension reality, which is where I think we are now, to the fifth dimension, where I'm experiencing regularly, I've been there so many times, a better Earth. A new Earth, as Eckhart Tolle would say, and also what the Bible predicts in the end after the revelation is this new paradise Earth. I believe, as quantum physicists have actually verified, that there are multiple realities sitting on top of us right now. There are multiple histories for Earth, and as real as this one seems to us, because our bones seem so real, and everything we experience seems so real, which is really just a bunch of fluctuations and atoms that is mostly empty space. Most of physicality is truly, at the atomic level, empty space. When the magnetic field of the Earth collapses, I predict this Earth is going to pass away, just like the Bible says. The new Earth is going to be the best one where, of all the different dimensions of Earth, the one I'm seeing in the fifth dimension, I'll give you just a couple of previews of what I'm experiencing there. They're actually teaching me the orientation of their magnetic field in the fifth dimensional Earth. They're telling me to leave my light on in the southern part of the house because they can actually get into and communicate through the south part of the magnetic field. Now, the Great Pyramid of Egypt is aligned north, south, east, west, and it's numerical firing sequence, according to the math I did on it, is north, south, east, west. So that's the firing sequence of the frequencies in the pyramid. In that Earth, I see cities that are made of glass that is as strong as steel. Everyone has super modern, beautiful homes. They don't work in a banking debt economy the way we do. They use their youth and their power to build homes for everybody. Everybody has homes. The idea that you have to make somebody pay for 40 years for a house that took a couple of guys less than a year to make is just utterly, you know, criminally insane. And just the fact that we do that, that one thing alone, that you got to pay for a 30 or 40-year mortgage, and that's if nothing bad happens to the house. It could be longer. What we've done is we've forced people to burn a lot of fuel and drive around all over the place to do crazy jobs just to pay for this fictitious number that we decided to invent.
Right.
And we've overused our resources, and we made each other so stressed out that we can't actually meditate. We don't have time to creatively think about how to reach space and how to build flying saucers, how these other civilizations are doing it. So I believe a lot of the UFOs that I'm actually being visited by in the fifth dimensional Earth, a lot of our actual physical flying saucers are not coming from another planet. They're actually coming from another dimension of our own planet.
Well, hold that thought for a second, David. Let's take some calls, okay. But I want to come back and talk with you about that. Let's go to Mike in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, east of the Rockies. Hey, Michael, go ahead.
All right. Thank you, George. Glad you had David on, and you're doing a great public service by having guests like this. And, David, you're one of my favorite guests, so I hope you're on a lot. You just kind of touched on what I wanted to ask about. Over the last couple of years, there's been this increasing rash of these orange fireballs and orbs of different colors kind of just meandering over through the sky. Have you done any research or heard anything that might be related to solar activity or, like you said, fluctuations in the magnetic field or something like that?
Well, some of the orbs are, I believe, intelligent beings, as well as some of them are purely, you know, pyroelectric phenomena from grinding plates and solar activity.
Plasma.
And
right.
Plasma. But some of these beings that, like in the early days when I made my case for NASA UFO film, these cameras that were sensitive to really low levels of light were seeing these orbs or balls of light floating up out of the Earth in Africa in that particular photography, and they go shooting out into space. And I often thought, you know, these aren't physical craft, and these certainly aren't, you know, pieces of dust floating by the camera lens because they have real movement. They are probably the classic, you know, orb shape phenomena that appear in the crop circles. And this may sound shocking, but I've had three of them right in front of me with my eyes open, and they actually spoke to me. They were about the size, 3 foot wide, about the size of 3 foot wide beach balls. They were bluish. One was kind of a purpley pink, and one was white, and they spoke perfect English, and they said they were from Arcturus, the star system Arcturus. And I was just in utter shock and amazement looking at them. But there's also that photography in William Gizecki's film of the young farmer sitting on the tractor, and the ball of light comes right up to him. They got this on film. And then he passes out. He goes to sleep when the ball of light comes near him. And I believe what the ball of light is doing in broad daylight to his brain is it's inducting him with really deep delta frequencies, which put him to sleep. And that is what I experienced with them. I've met them a few times. I mean, literally, physically, with my eyes open perfectly clearly right in front of me. So the crop circles also, the real ones, might be instructions to build a magnetic field portal to get to the higher dimensional Earth.
All right, let's take some more calls here for you. Rob in North Fond du Lac, Wisconsin. Hey, Bob, go ahead.
Hey, good evening, gentlemen.
Hi.
First of all, I'd like to say thank you for taking my call. I've got a Dave kind of alluded to something I've been experiencing and kind of wondering about. See, in the summertime, the temperature is about 80 in a sunny day, and by 5 o'clock, the temperature drops drastically. All of a sudden, the tornado sirens go off, you know, high winds and whatnot. Where I live, there's about 75 yards out from me is a cell phone tower. Well, on the flip side, what Dave was, if I was hearing him correctly, when you get the cold ground temperatures, and then you've got about 65 feet off the ground, you get those very hot microwave heat temperatures. Are we getting like a flip side? Because I've been experiencing gale winds here nonstop for about 3 months now. I mean, just tenacious.
Well, that's what creates wind is difference. Like if you have a perfectly hot day with no clouds in the sky in Arizona, there's no wind. And as soon as a little cloud comes along and creates a cool patch, you set up temperature difference. And the difference,
Right. Yeah. The
voltage means difference. So energy won't flow or spin in a vortex unless there's difference. So once you set up difference with the hot microwaves and the cold ground temperature, then you're going to have wind. You're going to have movement.
Yeah, and there's like 40-mile-an-hour gale winds up above me.
Right. You're going to have the electrons start to move really fast because electrons move at amazing speed, and they drag the dust particles around, which push the air mass around. So that's my theory on you know, how these weather systems are moving at that electric level.
Do you see in the future people, scientists beginning to realize this phenomenon and eventually tear down all these cell phone towers and go back to landlines?
Well, no, see, that's what I believe. I mean, all of my work specializes in harmonics. I believe we use electricity disharmonically, and I have designed harmonic programs that you can pulse in your house to restabilize the magnetic field in your house and your body. And we did tests with several subjects in Sedona pulsing three women with the frequencies I mathematically decoded in the Great Pyramid, and their auras went from a chaotic, unbalanced state to a super bright sine wave balanced chakras. And we tested these women the next day when they weren't even on the technology, and they had still maintained 80% of that improvement. So it's electricity in a chaotic state that doesn't agree with the body. Like, I think at nighttime, like, you can try this. Like, during a power outage, you'll feel it's dark in the house and you light candles, but it's so peaceful.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
As soon as that electricity comes on, that's 60 hertz. You know, you don't need 60 hertz in the brain until you're awake and you're highly active. That's the upper part of the waking brain. So all these people with insomnia, you know, you've got your cell phone sitting next to the bed. You've got your head near an outlet, and you can take a good EMF meter and hold it near an outlet, and that's 60 hertz right near your head, you know, sitting next to that outlet. So that's going to disturb your sleep pattern and your brainwave. So what I've done is designed all of these total harmonic fields that can be used both with audio or with my transmitters to restabilize your environment. And I think eventually all appliances need to have these harmonic field generators in them, and it will change the electric field on the entire planet, because the way we use electricity now, it doesn't make any sense. It's just not harmonic to life.
Okay, Richard, it's your turn in Washington. Go ahead, Rich.
Yeah, hi, George and David.
Hi there.
You were saying something about these kids that were suffering from depression, and you took them into a cave and did whatever and reestablished the frequency, and it made them better?
Mm-hmm.
Well, my question is, some of us, like, for example, are peas are just fine, but we have others have allergic reaction. Can some of us have the opposite reaction with the normal frequencies, but when the frequencies become what they are, become more normalized?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, you mean you get used to the current frequencies?
Well, you said something about the frequencies affecting their depression and so forth.
Well, no, what happened is they took a group of teenagers who were not depressed, and when they isolated them away from the natural frequency of Earth, they got depressed. And then they found that in most American big cities, there's so much EMF pollution and electricity.
Everywhere.
They cannot detect the frequency of Earth anymore, which could explain the epidemic depression levels in most major cities and all the people taking
Prozac. Okay. So then those of us who are exposed to the normal frequencies, who are depressed and are taken away from this frequency, can they become more normalized?
Well, if you're taken there's two ways to do it. I mean, I personally I have these pendants that can reharmonize your body's magnetic field to help you as well as...
The reason I'm asking this, it's because it's a personal thing for me. I at one time suffered greatly from depression.
Mm-hmm.
And as the years have gone by, and now that I live on a rock, basically, rather than on farmland, I become more and more normal. I don't have the depression and things like
See,
that.
See, because you're the rock, and living out in, if you're away from the cities, you know, like I am now, the natural vibration of the earth is so relaxing and so healthy. Even if you have electricity in your house, at least you're not surrounded. Like, if you're in Manhattan and you buy an iPad and you want to go connect to your Wi-Fi, you've got to search hundreds of other people's Wi-Fi signals right on top of yours. That means Every apartment in that tower has got a Wi-Fi signal that's right on top of your brain. And it's no wonder people are going crazy. No wonder their behavior is getting more and more erratic and insane, literally insane, because we're exposed to microwave frequencies, which are hot. They're very high temperature. You know, electromagnetic fields are not harmful. It's microwaves that are harmful. You know, nature's full of natural electromagnetic fields. And rocks, you know, they're semiconductors. So you walk barefoot on the rocks and in the grass, and you go down to the stream and you really connect with nature, you're the lucky one, because that's the natural way to do it. But there's technology now that I've developed that can help you do that if you live in the city and you live near high-tension power lines, for example. I mean, high-tension power lines have been proven to cause leukemia in many individuals.
And God knows what else.
So there's all that to consider, yeah. There's natural and then there's artificial ways of reharmonizing. I think the way we're using electric fields on the planet is totally immature and totally unevolved. And it is probably contributing to the rapid destruction of natural weather patterns.
What did you mean by the craft could be dimensional?
Many of the UFOs, I believe, are not. See, when you see a real UFO with your real physical eyes, you see it, they don't zip around and do banking turns like, you know, F-18s do or F-22s. They just hover there and then they just blink out. You know, they move around a little bit and they just jump dimensions. And where they go is there are other dimensions of this planet that I believe that there are multiple dimensions going on, and there's probably, in the end, there's probably one dimension where everything is done perfectly, and that dimension, all the other dimensions are going to collapse. When the magnetic field collapses within another 2,000 years, according to NASA, nobody, you physically can't live here anymore. And I think all of the false dimensions, the ones that are not harmonic, where humans have not made the right choices, those dimensions are going to burn up in the cosmic radiation when the magnetic field collapses. But the dimension of Earth that is harmonic, where everybody has made the right choices, that's the new paradise Earth in the Bible. That's the new Earth. That's my prediction from everything I've seen. That's where the UFOs are now. A lot of the UFOs are coming from other star systems, yes, but a lot of them are coming from the better Earth.
Well, there's no doubt. David, we're going to take this quick break. We're going to come back with more phone calls for you. But would you give us your website?
Yeah, my website where my transmitters and my pendants are is lightstreamtechnologies.com. That's lightstreamtechnologies.com. And my films are at voiceentertainment.net. And my laptop protector shields are at wavetech.us.
Excellent. David Cereda, our special guest, will come back. We'll take some final phone calls with him as we talk about the Earth's magnetic field. It is collapsing. Well, have you watched our television program yet? Beyond Belief, you can. 10 days free. Amazing subject matter and guests. And we've got a major campaign going on because we need your help to set up a special Coast Fund. And we're looking for 3,500 new subscribers for that. And by the way, you can also watch all the other incredible programs that are available for free during those 10 days. You know, Lisa Gar, who hosts her own public radio program, she's on Gaiam Television as well. You can watch her shows, too. So simply go to beyondbelief.com, fill out the sign-in information, and there you go. Welcome back. David Cereda with us. And, of course, we'll take your final phone calls. David, by the way, great job for us on a very complicated subject, which is pretty darn serious, you know?
It's amazingly serious when you see and you really wake up to what's happening. I think, you know, the Internet has made people very deactivated physically. I mean, in the 60s and 70s, you really got involved on a physical level with protesting and with really trying to physically make a difference. And now everybody's aware. They're aware from your show, probably more than anything, and the Internet. You can really study things and research them. But when you see when you see this happening to this great land, I mean, it's just so, it's heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking to see, you know, my daughter and the new children going into this. I mean, not being able to take her to the beaches in California and Oregon is heartbreaking for me because I grew up there. I mean, to experience the beauty of those beaches is just one of the greatest treasures in life, and we don't know. I mean, they're saying the radiation in the Pacific and the longevity of those particles is so, it's basically permanent. If that's what's causing the water temperature to increase, which is killing the starfish.
Maybe it is.
Well, that would mean if that's what's building the high pressure ridge, that little bit of temperature increase, not much, it might even be a degree or two, then that means the high pressure is here to stay and California is going to turn into a desert. If it's not the entire cause, which I hope it isn't, then maybe the rains will return at some point. But right now, my mom is planning to evacuate her home that, you know, her and her husband lived in, you know, for a very long time in the Sierra Nevada. And it's sad. It's sad when you have to go and you have to leave.
Oh, absolutely.
That place. And now people in the American East and the South, I mean, these freezing temperatures, I'm actually really amazed that more people aren't dying. I know we're burning a lot of fuel. There's a lot of fracking and natural gas that's keeping people warm. I've discovered a frequency that produces a lot of heat with very little energy. And I have a team of guys that are interested in the idea of maybe, you know, finding a way to produce energy-efficient heating and cooling. You know, these things are hard to really get anywhere, but I'm experiencing it. I'm experiencing a particular frequency through a coil with no power, very little power, and there's a lot of heat there, and that could save a lot of lives. Like, I read, and I still don't know if this is true, but I read in some European press that not this winter, the winter before, there were 30,000 human deaths in England, a lot of farm families, because they had to choose between heating and eating. And they chose to eat, and they froze to death. I don't know if that number is accurate. It is in the press in Europe, but I do know that a lot of people are freezing to death, and a lot of people are getting the flu, and a lot of people are so cold, and they're so sick right now in Eastern America that, you know, this is really happening, and it's not normal. I mean, this is not normal.
Nothing's normal. David, let's wrap it up with some calls. Yeah. Let's go to our first-time caller in Erie, Pennsylvania. Donald is with us. Hey, Donald, good morning to you.
Good morning. Hi. May I ask Dave a question?
You sure can.
Okay, Dave, I have a spiritual question. I'm a little bit of know a little bit about science, but I'd like to ask you something spiritual.
Okay.
Would you say the sum total our existence as a human being resides in our language?
Explain a little bit more about that.
Well, the words that we use and the feelings and perceptions that these words create within our souls make us who we are.
What do you think of that, David?
Well, you know, words are vibrations, and it's amazing. I always think this is kind of funny how I can watch a cartoon with my three-year-old daughter, and I'm crying and getting so involved in the drama, and this is a Barbie episode.
You cry at a Barbie episode, David?
With my little three-year-old
What's
daughter.
What's wrong with
this
you?
This isn't even real. And well, it is real because these are heartfelt feelings that are created in this little movie, in this little story. And, yeah, we are our.
Okay, Moses, we're back. Now, we're going to go into this surveillance thing and find out what's going on with our cell phones, our computers, and stuff of the like, because this is very, very important information. I want to definitely get this information out. If there's anybody got any questions, now's the time to raise your hand. And if you got any comments about anything that you've heard so far here this evening, now's the time to discuss it. The number to dial and call in is 310-982-4184. If you got any questions or comments, now's the time to dial in. We're going, when we come back, we're going to go directly into the segment about the surveillance so we can find out what's going on with our cell phones. So y'all hold on a second.
If you are into ghosts, you're going to love watching Marianne Winkowski, the Ghostbuster. She was on our Beyond Belief program this week, and you can watch it. 10 days free. Simply go to the website, beyondbelief.com. That's www.beyondbelief.com. Questions with Robert Zimmerman, climate change, things going on in space as well. What has been for you, Robert, the most exciting thing in space over the last 5-10 years?
Oh, without question, in the last 5-10 years, George, it's been the resurgence of private companies building rockets and spaceships.
Ah.
It really feels like I'm back as a child in the 50s with all these wild and crazy efforts by many different companies. You know, every day you read about a different company coming up with something new and innovative, much of which will never fly, because in such a situation, a lot of these ideas don't get off the ground, literally and figuratively. But, you know, you get a lot of them. Some do. And when they do, that's what's really exciting. I mean, for example, we've been waiting a decade now for Virgin Galactic to launch Spaceship Two and Tourists in Space. And there's real rumors right now that they're having problems with the engine of Spaceship Two. And so this company might fail. But that's not a failure, because what's happened is that the idea that private enterprise in space is a viable way to go is no longer considered crazy. It was considered crazy a decade. When I wrote, you know, my book, Genesis, the Story of Apollo 8, it's out now as an e-book. It's about the Apollo 8 mission to the moon back in 1968. That was the Christmas mission. When I wrote that book back in 98, first time, I said that one of the sad consequences of that mission was that it proved to Americans that the government was the way to do things, to copy the Soviet model. And that was an unfortunate lesson we learned from the 60s. Well, I said in that book that it's not going to work that way. Eventually, private enterprise will do it. When I wrote that in 98, I got a lot of people telling me, what are you, out of your mind? We need the government to do this. Well, nowadays, I just reprinted the e-book edition, and I was right. This is how it's going to get done. And that's how the United States has always done it, and that's how the United States will do it in the future, and that's how humans will do it in the future. It will be many people following their dreams.
So when the war ended and we grabbed the Nazi scientists from Project Paperclip, Operation Paperclip, what would our space program be like today, Robert, had we not had those Nazi scientists?
We would have suffered somewhat in the 60s. It might have taken us a few additional years to get off the ground. But I have to tell you that we would have done it nonetheless. Without question, we'd have done it nonetheless. For example, the rocket that was used in the Gemini program, the Titan missile, the Titan rocket, was not built by Russian engineers. It was built by a purely American designers. And so that worked for the Gemini program. Now, the Atlas rocket, that was not built by German engineers. That was built by American companies. Those German engineers built the Redstone rocket that was used in Mercury, and they built the Saturn V. So obviously they were key to our winning in the 60s. But I I will tell you that I think in the end we would have just had to deal with it without. For example, use the Soviet Union as an example. They stole a bunch of German engineers as well. They didn't get the cream of the crop, but they got a lot of good ones. They sucked the knowledge out of those German engineers, and then their own people basically went ahead and built things. And I think that would have been the same thing in the United States. They helped. Wernher von Braun was a genius when it came to – his people were geniuses when it came to building rockets. But, you know, others, we would have done the same thing nonetheless.
All right. Let's take some calls here for you. We'll go to Salt Lake City, Utah to get things started. Max is with us. Hey, Max, welcome to the show.
Oh, it's such a relief to hear somebody talking sense for once.
Thank you, Max. I appreciate that.
I've been fighting this global warming thing for 20 years. I used to argue with Art Bell about it. Now, there's so much evidence out there that does not make sense under the current model.
Yes.
In fact, if you were to take just the planets themselves and put them in the order of their surface heat, you'd find out that Jupiter is by far the hottest. In fact, it's 50,000 degrees. That's 5 times hotter than the surface of the sun. The photosphere. And if you were to keep putting them in order, next would be Saturn, then Neptune, the furthest planet from the sun, then Uranus, which is about the same temperature as the surface of the sun, about 9,000, 10,000 degrees, and then Venus. All these planets, they put more heat into their surrounding space than they get from the sun. In fact, Jupiter puts 2.5 times more heat into its space. It's like a little sun itself, yet it's not. And there's no nuclear fission going on there. That's well documented. You know, it does have a lot of radiation. But putting the rest of the planets in order, Mercury, the closest planet to the sun, is one of the coolest. It's the, number 6 on the list? Then comes Earth and Mars. What is evidenced by all the planets around us is that these generate the heat themselves. In fact, the Earth itself, if you were to just take the daytime temperatures and subtract the nighttime temperatures, that gives you the amount of heat that is given to us every day. It's as simple as that.
Well, I'm not sure I would agree with you in some details with what you said. The sun is, I think it's a mistake to say the sun is not an influence on our climate. That, in fact, is one of the mistakes
yes.
the global warming crowd has made
influence.
In the last 30 years. They've tried to claim that the sun is not a significant factor in climate change. And I think that's risky. The sun is one of the most important factors. It pumps heat into our atmosphere, and we have to recognize that. How the atmosphere reacts to that heat and fluctuates over time is influenced by enormous number of factors, many of which we're not quite pinned down yet. But to dismiss the sun as a factor in global warming is, or I should say climate, is a mistake. It's a mistake, I think, Max, as huge as trying to claim humans are causing global warming. I think it's too, you're being too certain. There's a lot of factors here, not just that one.
Robert, some temperatures, wind chills, minus 45 degrees over the last few weeks, pipes busting. How much can we take of these extremes?
We're adaptable species. I don't worry about it at all. A friend of mine once joked that if the sea is rising because of global warming, and it's rising at the humongously fast rate of 3 millimeters a year, which is, a few inches every half decade, we're not going to stand on the beach as the water laps on our knees and wait till it gets to our heads 75 years later. We're adaptable. We'll deal with it. We'll figure out how to adapt and adjust and use technology to survive. That's another reason I don't worry about global warming significantly. I think as an intelligent species, we should learn as much as we can about the atmosphere and the Earth so we can respond and adapt. But I also don't worry about these changes because, the climate changes all the time. It fluctuates all the time. The technology is what's going to make it possible for us to adapt and survive. I don't worry about it tremendously.
Let's go next. Wild card. Art is in Camden, Tennessee. Hello there, Art. Go ahead.
How you doing? I'm not a cosmologist or anything, but when the particles emissions come from the fusion process in the middle of the sun, it takes a long time for the neutrinos and the light particles to escape its gravity. What it does is just like a pulsar. Pulsars will shine its light re-catches light and its radio frequencies at a certain level off of a certain time. Well, our sun is not a pulsar, but it works like the same way. This is my theory. And as we travel through space in elliptical orbit around the sun, we catch more of these photons, we catch more of the particles, the radiation off of it, and causes more heating, more cooling.
Well, yeah, all right, let me talk about the sun here a bit, because this is something I have studied, because this is how I got into the climate field, because I started with the sun because it's space, and that's where my initial interest was, studying the sun as a star. And what I've written a few articles for Astronomy and Sky and Tell on this subject. The sun as a star is it's a variable star. It does fluctuate its total irradiance. This is not just neutrinos or protons or light. It's also gamma rays, ultraviolet rays. The whole electromagnetic spectrum fluctuates, and different wavelengths fluctuate more or less. Ultraviolet, for example, fluctuates almost 50% over the solar cycle. The total solar irradiance, the amount of total energy coming from the sun, at least since the 70s, when we really had good data finally in the space age of what the sun, how much the sun fluctuates, it only fluctuates 1/100th of a degree. It's a very small amount.
Isn't that amazing all by itself that it would be so close all the time?
Yeah, it's a remarkable thing about the sun, George, is that it is so stable in brightness. It really is remarkable. In fact, the evidence from astronomy is that G-type stars like our sun tend to be much more active and much more variable. And we're not still talking about they're not really strongly variable stars, but much more variable than our sun is. Our sun is unusual, at least.
It should be more unstable, shouldn't it?
Say again?
It should be more unstable, but
well,
it's not.
We don't know. We're still early in the infancy of this research. But the implications are that it is a much more stable G-type star than most G-type stars. Now, that could be that it just there's periods of stability and then there's periods of activity, and we're just studying it in a period of stability. There's a lot of unknowns. We don't really know a lot. The Kepler Space Telescope, for example, was teaching us a great deal about G-type stars because it was looking at them intently, continuously for 3+ years. And so, if, for example, the solar cycle is 11 years. Well, if you looked at a 100,000 other G-type stars for a period of 4 years plus, you've seen half of a solar cycle. So you begin to get a sense of the overall statistics of G-type stars, and they're just beginning to digest that data from Kepler. Now it's going to tell us a great deal about our star. Now, in terms of that fluctuation, the fluctuation as known since the 60s over the solar cycle is not enough to change the climate significantly. But we have not studied the sun when it goes through a grand minimum of 70 to 100 years with no solar sunspots. That period of very dimming could significantly reduce the amount of radiation from the sun. We don't know. We're still learning this field. From a scientific perspective, if the sun is going to go into a grand minimum over the next at the end of the next solar cycle, that is an opportunity of stupendous wonderfulness, because we'll be able to study a grand minimum and find out how much it affects us. It could have significant consequences, because cold I've always considered to be a much greater threat to our survival. If it gets warmer, we get more carbon dioxide. We have more opportunities to grow plants and food. If it gets colder, you get crop failures. It's much more difficult to provide food for yourself, for agriculture to prosper. So I'm much more worried about cold in this context, and a grand minimum could bring cold to us, and we have to deal with that if it should happen.
Could anything happen to the sun so dramatic, so unexpected, that it could literally change our way of living?
That's an interesting question, George. I would, if I had to make a speculation here, I'd say it's not likely. But for example, you brought it up in the first hour, the magnetic field. If the sun's magnetic field continues its slow decline and reaches zero as it processes towards another flip, and we go through a period of several thousand years of no magnetic field, that's going to...
And now on Coast to Coast, we're going to talk about electronic harassment. What the heck are they trying to do with us and to us? Roger Tulsis joins us, and we'll be back with him in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. You can't go anywhere nowadays without hearing a story of some kind of spying by the NSA, red light cameras capturing you all over the place, just intrusion, intrusion, intrusion. Roger Tulsis, of course, is a Los Angeles-based private investigator. He specializes in electronic countermeasures. For years, he has swept locations for bugs and wiretaps. And, of course, his website, bugsweeps.com. You can find that at coasttocoastam.com. Roger, always a pleasure to bring you on.
Hey, George, always great to modulate the waves with you, buddy.
It seems every time you come on, there's been more atrocities of government spying and things like that. What's going on?
Well, George, the real big story, since we were last on with you, I did a show with John Wells on July 28th of 2012, and we spent a chunk of the show talking about the new NSA facility and what we thought the reason for it and what it was going to mean. And, of course, since then, Snowden has exposed a lot of what's going on, and that is the huge story. We are getting more information about the technologies that this agency is using to totally crush our Fourth Amendment rights, and I'd like to go over some of the details on some of the stuff they're doing right now during the show here tonight.
Sure, and they're just not stopping, are they?
Well, this is kind of what happens when a great power goes into decline. Because before, you know, we were strong militarily. We could afford to have military around the world and be the world cop and all that. But, you know, after this last debacle of $3 trillion being spent in Iran, and Iran looks like it's falling right back into the same disruption it was before we got there.
You mean Iraq.
Iraq. Iraq and all that and all those assets squandered there. And America, hey, listen, America's broke. $17 trillion in declared debt, and if you add the liabilities for the Medicare and the Social Security, you know, anywhere from $50 to $100
trillion. Unbelievable.
And also, I have to say, from my research, I believe that the Federal Reserve is insolvent. And after we go through some of this other information about the spying, maybe we talk about that, because a lot of this has to do with why America has become so desperate that it now has thrown the Fourth Amendment aside and decided it's going to spy not only on its own citizens, but it's going to spy on the whole world, including its friends.
Yeah. How can they collect so much data, Roger? Where does it go?
Well, that's the reason that they built this new million-square-feet facility up in the they literally didn't have the ability to power that many computers out of the old location on the military bases in Maryland. So they had to find a new location. Mm-hmm. This location has its own power-generating plant and can support that. But you have to understand what they were planning to do. I mean, at this point, the arguments on metadata, and we really need to maybe tell the listeners a little bit about what the metadata is, because I know you know what it is, right?
Yeah, well, a little bit, not quite as much as I should.
All right, well, let's just talk about that for a second, because if you, as an example, have a cell phone, and most people do, when you initiate a call, not only is your calling number stored in the computers of whatever company
you use, like Verizon or something like that.
Okay. Not only is the calling information stored, but the time of the conversation and who you called. So here you got both the caller, calling party, and the receiving party. You know those numbers. And you also, you have on the cell phone, you have the location data. In other words, it will list the actual cell tower that you made the call from. And the other day, I actually have a Verizon one, and I went on my website here to just look and see what information it had. And I had made a trip across the country here, and they had listed all my ingoing and outgoing calls relating to my location. So, in other words, every call that went gave me a cell tower in a specific – it didn't list the cell tower by number, but it listed the actual city location. So you could literally go back and look at my bill, and you could see what days I was in what locations, depending on all the calls that came through. But the other thing that people don't understand is that any time your cell phone moves from point to point and it logs on with a new cell tower, inside the data of the phone company, it's also logging on that you passed through that tower and that tower had a handshake with your phone. So that means, you know, every 30 minutes or so, there's a check-in.
Right, and they know.
Okay, so this is metadata. So the big argument is now, because this metadata is being taken into the NSA's computers, and they are taking metadata for every landline phone and every cell phone and all the smartphones, you know, anytime you connect to the Internet, they're taking all this data in. So let's take a second and look back into the history of envelope information, because in my view, this would be envelope information. It's kind of like an envelope that you would send in the mail, in the sense that, you know, you're the sending party. You put your return address, mm-hmm. put who it's mailed, going to be mailed to, and the post office puts a stamp on it. Now, going back to the founding fathers, the first mail system that they had was 1775, and it was before the creation of the federal government. Because the Constitution wasn't really put together until 1787. So back in among the colonies, they put together this mail system, and the whole idea was that when you handed a piece of mail over to your post person, that they had a fiduciary responsibility to make sure that mail arrived at the receiving party without being opened. So that sets the precedent to me that envelope information should be covered by the Fourth Amendment, because if envelope information, if they considered, our founding fathers considered it was allowable that the government would log every piece of mail going out and every piece of mail coming in to put it into some kind of data log to keep track of what was going on between all the people in the colonies for further evaluation by the crown or whoever would be in power to be looking at that kind of stuff. I certainly think when they wrote the First Amendment and they said that people are secure in their persons, houses, and papers and effects, that would cover that mail going between one individual and another. Does that seem to make sense?
Well, it does. And what's ironic, Roger, is if people said that the government was opening up my mail and looking at it and then sealing it back up and giving it to us, that they were actually looking at our enveloped mail, the outcry would be astronomical compared to what's happening now. And though there's been some furor over the fact that they're looking at emails and phone messages and text messages,
yeah.
I really believe that if somehow Snowden said, and they're opening up every piece of mail that is mailed, people would go ballistic. But they're not over this.
Well, the point that they're making is that they're not listening to the content of the phone conversation. See, that's what they're saying, is that it's not lawful for them to listen to the United States citizens' phone conversations. But my point being is that if they've got this data, and it would be as if the government back in 1777 kept an ongoing list of everybody you communicated with, in case later on they wanted to form a charge of conspiracy, because George Norrie, let's find out who George Norrie was corresponding with. Was he involved in a group of people that revolutionary ideas relating to setting up a new country? So you never know when the government can charge people with conspiracy just based on linking their associations.
Well, I've already had two coast-to-coast guests that have been indicted for things. One, campaign finance abuse, they say, Denise D'Souza, and then the other, Dr. Robert Young, Ph.D., not medical, 18 felony counts of practicing without a medical license and things like that. And I just think it's interesting that governments will go after these people when these people start going after governments and the way they handle people. I mean, it seems like you kick up the dust, Roger, and they come after you.
Well, and of course, this their whole point of doing this kind of thing is to be able to silence the people that they want to silence, which is the whole horrible part of the structure of the NSA, because, you know, nobody was elected that runs the NSA. All these people were people that were just given this assignment by, it's hard to tell who exactly puts them in power.
Right. And how long they've been there.
And kind of, you run into this kind of Michael Corleone situation. You remember when Michael Corleone in The Godfather 2, he was trying to get a gambling license.
In Vegas, I remember.
Well, it was California. I think it was for the Tahoe property. But anyway, he's sitting across from this senator that has the ability to get him the license. He was a senator from Nevada. And the senator doesn't like him. He says, you know, I don't like your greasy Italians. He was very assaulting to Michael. And Michael said to him, you know, at this point, you can pay for the license. And, you know, he said, whatever. So, you know, several scenes later, here is this senator. He wakes up in bed with a dead prostitute. And Frito, Michael's brother, says, well, you're lucky. You're in my hotel. We can keep this whole thing from anybody knowing.
Oh.
And so as a consequence, Michael Corleone now has this
individual
in his pocket.
A little blackmail.
Well, he just had that in his pocket. But I want to read a little bit about a little history about this kind of thing in the United States government. You recall J. Edgar Hoover.
Yep, sure do.
Head of the FBI, crime fighter, and all that kind of stuff. Well, back in his time, there was no laws against phone tapping. So what happened with him is back in the 1940s, he only had 650 people in the FBI, and as they went from about that time up into the 1940s, around the time of the war, they moved up to 13,000 people. But what Hoover was doing is he was wiretapping whoever he wanted. And as a consequence, here's a quote from this interesting article that I sent you a copy of. It says here, the moment Hoover would get something on a senator, recalled William Sullivan, the FBI's chief domestic intelligence officer during the 1960s, he'd send one of the errand boys up and advise the senator that we're in the course of an investigation and we by chance happened to come up with this data on your daughter. From that time on, the senator was in his right pocket. After his death, an official tally found that Hoover had 883 such files on senators and 722 more on congressmen. So this is a frightening situation where you have one individual that's been not an elected individual, has been given the power to have these kind of dossiers, and literally can affect the operation of a government.
Absolutely, and that's why he stayed so long, because every elected official was afraid of him.
Exactly. And then he went on to do things like the terrible stuff he did with Martin Luther King, with tapping his phones and then releasing information about him.
So as we look at this and bring it up to speed with what's happening today, Roger, everybody will probably say, look, they're not going to listen to my stuff. It's not, you know, it's not going to affect me. So what? One day you might have that Edgar Hoover in there who might do that.
Well, the problem is that you've created a section of government that was not created by the people. You know, we have this balance of power between the three branches of the government, but there's not a fourth branch called the NSA. But if the NSA has this kind of power that Hoover had, anytime any legislation came up about either NSA funding or NSA power or, you know,
anything
to back the NSA down, they would just have to make the calls to those senators that they've got these kind of dossiers on and say, Senator, you know, we know your situation with cocaine problem. We know your situation with this extramarital affair.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they can literally take over control of the government. A fourth section of government that was not ever put in place by the Founding Fathers.
And
it's really frightening.
And how do we know, Roger, that's not being done now?
I think it is being done, George. I think it is being done, and it's being done out of desperation because there's nobody in Congress that wants to stop this surveillance, because America is in such desperate shape relating to its decline in the world and its economic problems that they're hoping that this level of surveillance will help America retain the power that's
right.
losing.
I mean, originally they said to us, hey, this is going to stop terrorism. That's what we're doing. I'm not sure they've caught anybody because of this, have they?
No, I don't think they've caught anybody. But the frightening thing is, here's where they were going with this thing, and this million square feet of computer systems that they're throwing up in Bluffdale. They were eventually going to get the Congress to say, okay, go ahead and store all the conversations, and then if later on in an investigation, go to a judge, and they will give you the warrant to release the conversations out of the database.
Go and retrieve it.
Yeah, so literally everybody's conversation, everybody's text messages, everybody's browsing records would be sitting in this bazillion monster computer memory with bazillions of bits of everything stored permanently, and there would be no privacy on any of those levels ongoing.
Unbelievable. Well, today, if they're looking at mine, they're going to see my text message to my 14-year-old granddaughter who's going to be in a play, Guys and Dolls, one of the old musicals, and also her birthday and some fun stuff when I come back.
Yeah.
And so it's stored away somewhere in case they ever need it, huh?
Well, you know, the point is you never know. When somebody's got the ability, especially to get into your computers, because one of the other big articles that have come up here, and when I went when I did this last show with John Wells, we discussed the Manchurian microchip, that there was a lot of speculation that as all these computers are manufactured in the Orient, the Chinese have put it backdoors in all these computers.
And they can monitor everything.
Well, and they can monitor everything. So the interesting point is that now, from Snowden's revelation, there is this other interesting article that relates to what they've actually found out about how they have put that the NSA has actually done a very similar thing relating to putting in these back doors. Now, some of the back doors have to do with software, and some of them have to do with hardware. And so they found out that not only did they put these back doors in so that they can get information out, but as an example, what happens if you get into a situation where they decide to put child pornography on your...
And you never looked at it. And you never looked at it, but it's on your computer, and you probably don't even know it.
Yeah, they just raid your place one day and take your PC out, and there it is.
You're up the river.
Yeah. So anyway, this was this big article that came out that said NSA devises radio pathway into computers. So what they're finding out is that not only did the NSA intercept computers that were manufactured and brought into the U.S. and install backdoor in both hardware and software, and then release those computers to be delivered to targets, but they also created a separate radio system that doesn't even use the internet to get the information in and out of the computers. In other words, built into the hardware of the computer itself is a hidden radio transmitter and receiver.
Unbelievable. Brilliant.
So that they can, at any point, use their own channels to move information out and into these computers.
Is it going to get better or worse for us, Roger?
Well, I think it's getting worse, and I'll tell you why, because I think as we learn more about what's going on, not only is the government losing trust with the people in the United States, but they're losing trust with all their partners around the world.
Hold it right there, Roger. We're going to take this break. We're going to come right back with you. Roger Tulsis with us as we talk about electronic harassment. Wow. We'll be back. Are you being electronically harassed, or you want to check in with us? We'll take your calls next hour with Roger Tulsis. More to talk with him about this electronic harassment and the Federal Reserve that he thinks they're going to go bust. We'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast. Roger Tulsis with us. Roger, so I guess you could say that the Internet has been a blessing and a curse.
Well, obviously, it's given us another pathway to get news outside of the corporate news, which is pretty awful. They regurgitate basically whatever the government says, and they're basically puppets. One of the reasons I like to watch the RT quite a bit, it's very clever when you consider what the Russians did. They throw up this TV station and they give all the young, independent thinking, kind of semi-radical young people in America TV shows. Have you watched the RT?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, so it's people like Abby Martin. You're not going to hear the kind of stuff that she's critical of on mainline corporate news.
No, it's not going to happen.
Because the corporations are never going to step on each other's toes, and so as a consequence, you never really get the real news. They're talking about who shot who in your neighborhood and car crashes but nothing serious. And I don't know. You're never going to hear anybody really even critical of the NSA.
How do you know that this is going to fester and get worse?
Well, it already is. But one of the interesting things that's happened relating to distrust among countries that we are supposed to be getting along with is that as these other countries, you remember the lady that's the German prime minister, they had tapped her cell phone, Merkel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she was part of the mix.
And so what does that say if you're a friend, if I'm tapping your telephone? In other words, George, you're my buddy, but now you find out that I went to your house and I tapped into
you. Pretty low, Roger.
Well,
pretty
yeah,
low.
You would say that the nasty private eye, he has no business listening to my private conversations, and I thought he was my friend.
And I probably would say I'm not going to deal with you anymore.
There you go. I wouldn't be your friend anymore.
That's right.
So, at any rate, to make the point is that when you do this to your friends, that causes distrust, and it causes distrust on so many levels, not only on the government level, but can I trust you not to be spying on my industries?
Is it smart business doing what they're doing?
Well, I don't think it's ever smart business to cheat your partners.
Well,
I think, keep in mind, one of the things that's happened is that the world was buying both United States manufactured computer software and hardware, and now they don't want to buy it. They can't trust it.
Good point. At what point did they go too far? I mean, could this have worked dealing with the so-called possible terrorists and just monitoring those people, the people that we think could cause harm?
Well, I don't think it's really an effective way to do that either, because you really need feet on the ground in a lot of these things. You need infiltration. So, just to be listening to phone calls in and of themselves. But, once again, it's this ability to be able to go into the metadatabase and connect all these phone conversations together that will give you the theory for a conspiracy. Now, let me tell you about another thing that's rather interesting about metadata as well. Do you know what a tower dump is?
I do not.
Okay. Each cell tower that operates and you are in that area using your cell phone, your call is directed through that particular tower that's closest to you, and the system decides which one that is. But every time you make a call and it goes through that particular tower, the data in that tower keeps track of all the phone transaction information for billing and also for other aspects of maintenance.
Okay.
But when you make the call, whatever tower is nearest you will then register that you made the call. It'll register who you called to, the time of the call, and other information about your location. Well, here's an interesting application on that. There was a bank robbery down in Arizona, and then every week there was another bank robbery within the general same part of the country. Two guys were going in, pulling out a gun, robbing the banks.
Same guy, same MO.
Yeah, same guys. So what the FBI decided to do is they figured, well, let's go to the towers that were closest to that bank during the period of time around the robberies, within, say, 6 hours on either side of the robberies,
okay,
and let's dump the cell phone tower information for that cell phone tower at that particular robbery location, and let's have a look at all the phone numbers that transacted during that period of time. So they went to every cell tower that was near the bank robbery in five separate bank robberies that they thought were these same guys. And then what they did is out of those transaction records, they pulled out 150,000 phone numbers. They put it in a spreadsheet, and they asked the spreadsheet to tell them, was there any numbers that were common to those cell tower locations during those robberies? And there was.
And probably not a lot.
No, it was just only two phone numbers. One guy calling the other guy, and the other guy calling the other guy.
So
based on that, they went to where these people were, and they put them under surveillance, and then they nabbed them as they were doing their next
bank. Okay, isn't that brilliant?
Well, it is brilliant, but at the same time, they got 150,000 other people's phone records.
All right, but how do you weed through this and get just those two guys and not worry about the other people?
Well,
can't they just get rid of it?
In other words, the excess phone numbers after the fact?
Yeah, just delete them all.
That's what they did do. But still, the question becomes, your phone number might have ended up being at one of those transaction records. And, the question is, do you really want the government then looking at where you were?
Well, but will they? I mean, I got to say that on the face of it, and, you're talking to Roger, a concealed weapons permit holder, a gun supporter, and things like that. Mm-hmm. But on the face of it, this was brilliant police work.
Well, it just shows you the power of the metadata. You know, the words, part of the story I'm trying to give you here is the power of metadata. Because it can place you where you are at any particular time relating to your phone conversations and also, as I said before, the handshakes.
I guess what you have to weigh, and here's the big question to you, is what's more important? Catching those two thugs who robbed five banks this way and getting data on everybody else that you're not going to use, or missing the opportunity to get those two people?
Well, I understand that in this particular case it sounds great, but the question is should the government know your locations? In other words, should they be able to just go to any tower, dump the data, and know everybody that was in an area? And is there some way, as an example, that can end up being a problem? Because as an example, let's say that you decide to go to a protest. So you're there, doing what we do in America when we don't like something. You go to a big protest, and here's the FBI and those agencies going and asking for all the tower dump information for all those people that were at the protest, because they know that they were within range of this one particular tower. And now they have a list of everybody that was out there protesting a particular piece of legislation they didn't like.
Well, let me give you another example. Some serial killer is out there, and he's picking up people from different areas, and he's killing these people. And, and he's got this crazed mentality thing about him. He's looking for a certain kind of woman. So he's killed, let's say, five of them. But they catch the guy under the same system you mentioned with these two bank robbers.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's worth it in that case.
Okay. Well, I just want to make the point that the metadata is powerful in different ways that you haven't even thought about. In other words, this dialed information and the fact that you were at this location at that time is all information that's going on out of your cell phone all the time.
So here's the other question. How can we make sure that this stuff, this information, just isn't used when it's unnecessary?
Well, what you do is you require, as the Founding Fathers said, that you're going to be secure in your persons, houses, papers, and effects, except for the situation where they would have a warrant supported by probable cause and affirmation. In other words, they say right in the Fourth Amendment that, yeah, go to a judge and ask a judge. But on the controversy about metadata right now that's being stored at the NSA is that no judge has allowed any particular use of metadata on probable cause, because they're just taking everything.
Everything, sure. It's a dilemma. It's a tough call.
Yeah, it is a tough call.
I mean, on one hand, I would like to just blanketly say, you will not spy on Americans at all. At all. You won't monitor cell phones, any of this. But then when you cite examples like catching these thugs, it sounds kind of reasonable.
Yeah, well, the whole tower dump thing is quite an interesting phenomenon. So, Now, the other part of this thing that I think is interesting is when we were getting back to what the NSA was actually doing about getting into the computers, you know, the Pentagon Cyber Command have implanted nearly 100,000 computer network exploits around the world. In other words, they've put covert software in other people's computers around the world to collect information. And then the question becomes, does the NSA use its foreign intelligence capabilities to steal trade secrets of foreign companies on behalf of U.S. companies?
I bet they do.
So then what? I mean, now you have even less trust.
Yeah, now that's going too far.
And Snowden, it was interesting, the 2008 map, which was part of the Snowden release, he notes 20 programs to gain access to the big fiber cables. He calls them covert, clandestine, or cooperative large accesses, not only in the United States, but in places like Hong Kong, Indonesia, Middle East. So here they are tying into the data, the major data centers, not only in the United States, but all over the world.
You were just mentioning that you think the Federal Reserve is going belly up.
Yep.
Tell me why.
Well, here's the interesting part. And as Germany became more distrustful of America, they asked the Federal Reserve to repatriate the gold that's been sitting there since the war, World War II. And what happened is during World War II, there was over 300 metric tons of gold brick, of bullion, that was moved out of Germany and into the Federal Reserve. And of course, at the time, the Federal New York was the center of trade.
Right.
So that when you were doing deals between countries, these tons of gold would sit there as the transactional base. But since Germany decided, well, you know, we don't really trust America anymore because apparently this is what's going on with a lot of people, especially with some of the other disclosures about the financial stuff that happened during the 2008 crash. So the Federal Reserve says to Germany, well, they said, we'd like to come in and audit our gold because apparently their gold has stamps on it. In other words, when those gold bars were made, they were stamped with the German stampings on it. So they say, we're going to send our auditors over, and the Federal Reserve refuses to give them access to their gold. They refuse to allow the German auditors to come to New York to look in the Federal Reserve vault at the German gold that they've been holding, 300 metric tons.
There's nothing in there.
Then after the fact, what happens is, you know, it really starts to boil over, because the people in Germany, in terms of the government there, they become pretty indignant. I mean, can you imagine you going to your bank and asking your bank to look at what you've got in savings, and they're refusing to even talk to you?
There are some banks that you go to get cash out, and they say, we can't do this. And I'm not talking about a tremendous amount of cash either.
Yeah.
They just simply say, well, I'm sorry, we just don't have enough cash on hand.
Well,
what?
Yeah,
it's a bank.
Yeah. Well, so anyway, what happens is that they finally settle on an agreement where the Federal Reserve will give them their 300 metric tons of gold back in 7 years.
When they can find it and collect it.
Well, this is the smoking gun, because
they're going to run around to find it.
They were supposed to deliver, I think, about 7 metric tons this year as the first part of the delivery, and they were only able to make 5 metric tons. They were unable to meet the first delivery.
They've defaulted already.
Well, pretty much so. They were unable to meet the 700 tons. And, of course, what's been happening is as they've been trying to keep the price and value of gold down by naked shorting on the COMEX, the United States government goes in there and sells short without actually having the gold to drive the gold price down. And what's happened is that caused all the people that were invested in gold in the ETFs, the exchange-traded funds, to sell out their gold. And all this gold has been moving to China. It's been moving to...
Physically
moving to China. China is now going to declare, they're supposed to in the next few months declare how many metric tons they've got on hand right now. And they think that they're going to say they've got 2,700 metric tons. But in reality, they think that they've got about 15,000 metric tons. They and India have been buying up all the gold that's leaving the West.
They could be the two richest nations on the planet.
Well, let's think about what they're up to. Because right now, all the currencies in the world are fiat.
That's right. Which means backed by nothing.
Backed by nothing. Backed by the good faith and credit of a country that's declared $17 trillion in debt, but it's probably $50 or $60 trillion. So the thing you have to understand is Federal Reserve notes are basically stock in the Federal Reserve Bank.
That's it.
That's what they are. You're kind of a stockholder. That's somewhat of a stock certificate. It's a non-interest-bearing debt note, but it's basically a stock certificate. And here, with these QE to infinity and zero interest, they've been cranking out this paper. So if there is no gold anymore, and the Federal Reserve has been spending billions of dollars buying U.S. bonds,
yep. They just lowered it again to $65 billion. Thank God.
Then actually, they're just holding bad paper.
Yep.
So there is the general statement that if, in fact, the Federal Reserve is insolvent and they can't go back to the U.S. government because they are the central bank, how are they going to go back to the U.S. Congress and say, dig us out because we don't have any gold, we don't have the underlying store of value
right.
that we need.
We never did.
Currency.
We just kept printing.
That's right. So now what happens is, you know what's going to happen? China is going to step in and take over the Federal Reserve.
Your kid.
I think they're the only people that can dig the Federal Reserve out of the hole.
So they come in and take over the Federal Reserve. What kind of incredible power does that give that country?
Yeah, what happened to American sovereignty if our national bank, if our central bank is now being controlled by China?
Now, on one hand, for the Chinese, that's another brilliant maneuver, isn't it?
Absolutely. But I think what the Chinese are going to do is they're going to back the yuan.
With the gold.
With the gold to some degree. And what they're going to try to do is displace the U.S. dollar as the reserve currency of the world. It's already happening.
That's brilliant if they do that.
It's already happening in the sense that we were able after the war to get all the transactions in oil done in U.S. dollars.
Can it be stopped?
I don't see how, because he who got the gold, you know that.
Yeah, he who has the gold rules, right? It's the golden rule.
Makes the rules, and gold. You know, that's gold is people are saying gold's not relevant, but in fact, gold is for 5,000 years been the basis of all this kind of stuff, especially when you have paper currencies that are falling
and
apart.
And it'll be around for at least 5,000 more, at least.
Well, the other thing is interesting. You know about shrinkflation?
No, you're throwing things at me I don't know about. I'm learning things.
Okay, shrinkflation. That's when you go to the store and you buy this box of cereal for the same price, and you open it up, and there's only 3/4 of what you were
okay.
that you bought.
Instead of getting more, they're giving you less.
They're giving you less. So this is shrinkflation. In other words, the U.S. government says that our inflation rate relating to this paper money that they're printing like crazy is only 2%. Where other people that take things like shrinkflation into account, where you're getting less for the amount spent, say that it's a 9% inflation rate, which is huge.
That is huge.
So you just have to look at what you have to look at is what did I pay for groceries last year per month, as an example, and what am I paying for groceries now? Because with shrinkflation, you're just going to have to buy more of the product, even though that there's 3/4 of what was in the box before. Now you got to buy a box and a half.
It's like a bartender gives you a little tiny glass of wine when you expect it to be half full.
Yeah, but you see that the U.S. government doesn't have any ability to calculate shrinkflation.
No, they can't. Roger, stay with us. We're going to come back and take some phone calls with you next. Final hour to go here on Coast to Coast AM. Well, we've been talking about electronic harassment, your rights, with Roger Tulsis, and this is the hour we'll take your phone calls. And you can react and be interactive with us when we come right back. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. Roger Tulsis with us. We're going to take your calls as well. Roger, if you could change one thing, if you could fix one thing with all this mess, what would it be?
Okay. Well, before I answer that, I wanted to get on the record on something here, George. people ask me, where did the term electronic harassment come from?
Yeah.
And I actually coined that phrase back in 1973. I had my first case of an individual who had modified a microwave oven and was blasting their next-door neighbor, who was in an apartment setup, was blasting their next-door neighbor with microwaves to attempt to force them to move because they wanted to take their apartment over. So and then after that, I defined electronic harassment as being what takes place if someone uses any electronic device to aid them in invading your person or property for the purpose of gathering information illegally or for the purpose of causing harm. But at any rate, I wanted to kind of get that for the record because a lot of people say, well, where did the term come from? And that actually came from a case where somebody was radiating somebody with a modified 800-watt microwave oven. So at any rate, I just wanted to get that cleared up because – and then the question becomes is what the NSA does to that, is that electronic harassment? Because by the definition that I've done here, anything for purpose of gathering information illegally.
Okay, so let's get back to that question. What would you rather fix?
Okay, well, I think the first thing you got to fix is you got to get the power. You got to get this fourth section of government under control because it's not in the Constitution. There is no NSA spying agency that's the fourth section of government that has this incredible amount of power.
Are they too big?
They're way too big.
Yeah.
Way too big, and it's scary that they are operating in the United States. You know, before – they were unable to do anything in the United States. That was not their mission. Their mission was only to deal with foreign intelligence.
It sounds like the KGB, doesn't it?
Well, it is. You're looking at exactly camel's nose under the tent kind of danger that we're in. And what it's doing is it's destroying the fabric of our Constitution. And we're having all these repercussions relating to all the people around the world where they have lost trust in America and what America stands for, and also that our people that have sworn an oath to the Constitution can actually execute their jobs in that manner.
Do they have the guts to disband the NSA? I don't think so.
Well, once again, the NSA may be in the situation like this FBI character where he's got these dossiers already in place, and they can't do it. There's just too much power has already been allocated, and of course, you know, their budget's unlimited. Nobody knows what these people have as far as money to spend. You have to realize what they did is they went in and they have bribed almost every communication company in America to put backdoors in the software and in their hardware, and to turn over all the data. In other words, all these major corporations like Verizon and the rest of these were forced by the Patriot Act and national security letters to turn over this metadata, and they had been paid handsomely for it.
There's
so
no end.
We're dealing with another branch of government that nobody has any idea what they do.
An unelected branch.
Unelected branch. And they're not even in the balance of the three branches of government that were intended by the Founding Fathers.
Let's take some calls for you, Raj. Let's go first to Dennis in Philadelphia. Hi, Dennis. Thanks for calling.
Good morning, gentlemen. Hi. Yes, this is really nothing new to me. Back in the back around 1996, I used to have a political talk show in Philadelphia here, and it was from 6 to 9 in the morning, and I began talking about issues, that the type of issues that RT is now speaking about. I began speaking about the chemical and biological warfare experiments that were being performed on people here in the U.S. when the U.S. government got the Nazi doctors in the late 40s, gave them immunity, brought them here, and they began working for the nuclear industry here. And which is when those experiments started. Well, I was talking about this on the air. I was talking about a lot of different issues that was taboo, and well, still is in the mainstream media. And I began noticing that, you know how when you put your trash bags out on trash day, well, my trash bags were vanishing while everyone else's were still there. Okay?
They were taking.
Then my mail began, not just one envelope, but many envelopes began coming to my door with the flaps open. Mm. Then I began hearing clicks and clicks and clicks on my phone. Well, one of my guests that Thursday was supposed to be a gentleman who was a member of the Kensington Welfare Rights Organization, and they were arrested and had many demonstrations. Well, I began noticing that when I was on the air in the 6 o'clock in the morning, the phone in the office kept ringing and ringing and ringing and ringing. Now, no one out there thinks to call an office at 6 o'clock in the morning, knowing that no one is going to be there. But this phone kept ringing. Well, the gentleman who was going to be on my show as a guest, since they were known very well by the Red Squads, which is an unofficial group within the police department, which monitors radical groups, he was given a warning to give to me to shut up. Well, some other things happened where I was at a demonstration, and this man walked up to me with black glasses, you know, stereotypical type guy with the black sunglasses, suit on, talking into his cuff type person, said, "Is your name so-and-so?" I said, "Yes." He gave my wife's name, my children's name, said to me, "Do you work at so-and-so?" I said, "Yes." And he said, "You're being watched."
Wow.
Well, right after that, you know, since I was the sole caregiver to my mom, I said, if something happens to me, who's going to take care of my mom? You know, she's in trouble. So that's when I stopped. So, you know, this is...
Okay, Moses, we're back. They have it, the electronic situation where they got these towers and they're collecting information and stuff. So be careful what you put out there. We got somebody with a hand raised at every code 443. We're going to get to you in just 1 second. But I feel like it's good for us to know what's going on and what's out there. Because, you know, based on the last time that I looked at television, there was no news. To me, when you say I got news, it has to be good news. If you tell me that, well, I'm going to give you some information, well, that's a different story. You know, the Los Angeles Rams beat the Cincinnati Bengals today, and we have a traffic jam over here on 33rd Street. This is the kind of stuff that we wake up on in the morning and we go to bed on in the evening that's being called news. Now, there's nothing wrong with a city bringing you what's going on in the city. But what we need to know is what's going on top of this rock that we're on. And we want the real information all day long. No cover-up, none of that. Area code 443, are you there? 443. No 443. Now, we're going down to the last few minutes here. And we're going to be closing out the broadcast shortly. But I need you all to keep in mind that we need to be maneuvering into a survival mode. Now, I've been watching some things over there on Facebook where people have been, and you might want to try this for yourself so we can find out what's going on with this. People are gathering snow in Atlanta. So far, the only snow that I've seen gathered is in Atlanta. And they're bringing it in, and they're putting it on a plate, and they're saying that the snowball is shrinking, but it's not melting. I was always under the impression that if you had real snow, that if that snow got some heat, I mean, this is what we've always been shown, that when the snow melts, it turns from ice to liquid. But what they are saying and showing on the videos, and you might want to check this out on YouTube, is snow that is shrinking but not melting. Mission Control, we have a problem. Okay. And we got all this cold weather going all winter, and everybody, instead of saying we ain't never seen nothing like this before in our life,
My question is, where is Harp on the day that it started? What were they doing? Can we get somebody in there to audit and find out exactly where you was, what you were doing, what's your latest project? Could you show us exactly when you fired up the machine, where it was aimed, what's, you know, all of this here? Could you let us know what's going on with this? Because this is a phenomenon. You know, I you take a piece of ice out of your refrigerator, put it in a bowl and lay it on the table, and the ice should melt and turn to a liquid. Here we have people gathering snow from outdoors, bringing it in the house where the heat is, putting it on a plate, and the snow is shrinking, getting smaller and smaller, but there's no liquid. It's not melting. Oh, boy, this is amazing. Now, I've seen two or three people put this kind of information up there, but I haven't heard anything from the media. Surely, something like this, if this was real, something like this should make the headlines. I mean, this should be broadcast throughout the United States. They should have a news presence. Barack Obama should come on TV. Hey, we got a problem here. You know, this should be global. We need to get this 411 out globally. Because if we got something like this going on, I mean, it seems like a small thing, but this is very, very serious. We need to pay attention. So those of you who are up there, round some snow. If you're around where the snow at, go gather it out, bring it in there, and perform that little experiment, and let me know what you got. You call me, area code 904-303-9061 before 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. That's 904-303-9061 before 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Let me know what you got. Okay,
everybody, listen up. We just got our new Professional Economic Collapse Survival System package. It's located right there at TehakaArchives.org. Go to www.newfreehelpgroup.com. That's www.newfreehelpgroup.com. If you got any questions about our Economic Collapse Survival System, contact me, Tehaka Amana L. Bay, before 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time at area code 904-303-9061. That's 904-303-9061 before 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The complete system comes from eyewitnesses accounts and the United States Navy SEAL survival techniques and other military professionals and what and how to survive an economic collapse and any natural disaster. With whole volumes of information, survival food shortage and what to do about it, home and perimeter protection in any crisis, personal defense, secrets by special forces, defense for children and seniors, mental survival in a crisis situation, off-the-grid survival and communication, real-world survival, 144-item checklist, and much, much more. In order to access this powerful document, go to newfreehelpgroup.com. That's www.newfreehelpgroup.com. Click on the TehakaArchives.org link, and you'll see the package there listed. If you got any other questions about this package, don't hesitate to call me, Tehaka Amana L. Bay. We do not have years left, but months. Many people only think they are ready. They are spending thousands of dollars attending boot camps, seminars, and other expensive classes across the country, and are not prepared according to the professional military experts whose information is contained in these explosive survival systems. This information is a must-have for every man, woman, and child in America. Contact me, Tehaka Amana L. Bay. Peace.
Okay, now we have, I was listening to the radio one night, and they say, out west, there's this place there, this little town, I forgot exactly what it said it was, where the tumbleweeds is taking over. You got, this is amazing. you know, you've seen old westerns. Those of you who looked at old westerns, you know, western come on and there's this little tumbleweed, the wind blowing and it's rolling and bouncing down the street. But they say in this place here, the tumbleweeds are so, there's so many tumbleweeds, you got people barricaded in the house and can't come out. This is amazing. And if this is true, my question is, why isn't this being broadcast by the media? I mean, this makes wonderful news. You can show this. I mean, if we can see this here, and there's no doubt in my mind that the American people will say, hold on, wait a minute, something is wrong. Where the people at with this machine? Where they at? Where they located? It's all, let's go there right now. You might want to consider listening to some of your radio broadcasts, cut the idiot box off, and start paying attention to what's really going on out there in this world, because I'm hearing some bizarre stuff. I don't have a whole lot of time to check out a lot of stuff, but I'm going to be getting some verification on this information so I can at least write some articles and sound the alarm, because in my opinion, there's more of us than it is of them. And so we understand that, and we start thinking collectively and pay attention to what's going on. And then we can start moving as a single unit when there's a crisis. Because what we want is we want freedom, justice, equality, peace, tranquility. That's what we want. Now, there's anything wrong with that. And you got people out there who say, okay, we can't all have peace because we got too many people on the planet. Some we got to get rid of some of the people on the planet. Well, my question is, who died and left you, boss? Go over there in the line. We'll go ahead and get you on our planet so there'll be more room. We got to get rid of some people. Go ahead and line up, and we do just that. And we don't have to worry about it no more, because you expert on the problem, let's solve it. But anyway, it behooves us to pay attention. We want to read. We want to look at what's going on. You know, this stuff is being broadcast on YouTube. It's being broadcast on Facebook, it's on LinkedIn, it's on Twitter, it's on all over, everywhere. Pinterest and Google and everywhere else. So we might want to take a look at some of this stuff, and if we take a look at it, it may be a good idea if we say, okay, this seems kind of out of the ordinary, because I've been programmed to believe the ordinary. But this seems out of the ordinary, so I'm going to see if I can get any verification on this. How many other people are saying the same thing? If you conducted this experiment and you found this result, how many other people someplace else have conducted and found the same result? It's just like the UFO thing. You got a man in New York. You got one in Miami. You got one in Dallas, you got one in Minnesota, you got one in Washington State, you got one in California, you got one in Houston, you got one in North Dakota, you got one in North Carolina, you got one in Atlanta, and all of them saying the same too. Wait a minute. Holy horses. All these people can't be wrong. You got the people in China, you got the people in Africa, you got people in Australia, all of them saying the same thing. But because the media didn't say it, we ain't going to believe it. Come on, man. Ladies and gentlemen, I've been your host, Tahaka Amana L. Bay. Until next time, you all have a good evening. Okay?